Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Let's take a call. Cape, California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of, not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
I think that's where they originated from. Yeah.
Las Vegas. Hello.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You could listen to Best Of for prizes. Would you? Hey folks, it's your old buddy Rob, reminding you that while Don and Mike are away, it's your chance to play. Listen very carefully to the Best Of while Don and Mike are on vacation, because when they come back, they will be asking a trivia question that'll help you win $1,000. But remember, you can't win if you don't play, and to play, you gotta listen to the Best of Don and Mike.
So, listen, about Fox News Channel. I know that I've never watched it.
I don't think I ever have. I mean, the news... Is that with Catherine Cryer, right? She's the big star on that, right?
Yeah. Lantern jaw Catherine Cryer.
Hello there.
In bad need of a nose job, Catherine Cryer.
Oh, I think she's got a very cute nose. You don't like her nose?
She got... Her nose is as square as Trent Lott's head. Hey, and Trent Lott.
Yeah, we were logging a little time with Trent Lott in the office today.
You know, a lot of... Because this whole stupid tobacco thing, he got... Right. He backed that down.
Yeah, that's right. They killed the tobacco bill. Way to go, Senator Lott. Way to go. Yes, children will die. Yes, sir.
It's like, because of that, everybody's forgetting the comments that he made about homos. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's gone. And he's, did you see him? Wasn't he the conquering hero today where he's like, he's kind of cavalier about, yes, sir, my head is square.
And I would like to elaborate on that theme. I think his head looks like one of the characters on Gumby,
yes,
or on Davy and Goliath, the early claymation shows where the heads were really kind of square looking,
perfectly square, and the hair looking actually a little less paint like today, like maybe he ran out of hairspray this morning.
Okay, so Fox News Channel, nobody watches it.
Right.
I guess MSNBC laughs at Fox News Channel.
I
like
more time with that than I do with the Fox Channel.
Then it begs the reason that if they suck so bad, they would call us for an interview.
Really?
Now, it's not a camera interview.
Uh-huh.
The way it was described to me is that they have some show on in the morning.
Yes.
And they normally have morning DJs call in, but this time they would make an exception to let us call in.
Oh, really?
And they sit around the table, and we are on the telephone.
Right.
And they talk to us. And about what, we've got to get more information from Charlie Broyhill, because they need an answer on this.
Yeah, we don't like to get ambushed anymore. We have to be very, very careful about ambush interviews.
I think it's a way to fill up 10 minutes a week, probably, with stupid disc jockeys like us. What is it, Charlie?
It's their Around the Water Cooler segment, where they talk about the current issues of the day.
Oh, we'd be so bad at that.
It's a reverent segment they like to do. It's nothing serious. We're not going to talk about any of the nuclear testing in India.
How irreverent. Well, I know how irreverent they want us to be. Yeah.
The example they gave me was there was a girl giving her commencement speech, I guess, in Vermont.
In the nude?
Yeah, who just took her clothes off.
Yeah, that's the big story.
Yeah,
right.
Just to talk about.
All right, well,
like
then find out if they would delete it if I was to say nice bush.
Okay.
For instance, if they offered up that, if that was my comment, nice bush, would they allow that to go on?
Okay.
And see if we can say Trent Lott has a square head.
And talk lots about homos and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And about Homo Joe and about the gay pride parade.
That's right.
And about how it's an exit, not an entrance.
Sure.
You know, all of our various topics.
Okay.
And about butt love.
When do they want us to be on?
The 23rd or 25th of next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Wow, so quick. So it wouldn't be like they wouldn't be talking about us. That's when we get torpedoed.
Right. It would be you two talking about stuff.
We're just the flavor of the month, man. We're the flavor of the week.
Yeah.
We're there instead of Jimmy Jam and the Breakfast Flakes.
Oh, no. You'll be there with Steve Lewis and Edie.
We're going to be with two other DJs?
No, those are the hosts of the show.
Steve and Edie.
The three of them.
Steve and Edie.
I don't know. You better ask them to call in. Maybe we should find out more about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't mind if it's a bad show. Uh-huh. That would be okay. I just don't want to get up early in the morning and get all psyched up to do an interview and then say something and they go, oh, hey, we've lost our connection with the popular Washington, D.C. disc jockeys.
Yeah, that would really suck.
Yeah. Right.
And can you do it like from your easy chair and watch the TV as we're doing it?
If you were so inclined, you could probably do it from your T position.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Provided you had a good cell.
All right. Well, go find out.
Okay.
Go find out. You know, that's so lame, we might just do it. We might do it because it's a news show,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. You know, when I moved into this house, I had a phone actually put in the upstairs bathroom.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And if we're able to call from our homes, I promise you, I make this commitment to you. Mm-hmm. That I will call from the toilet.
And I will ask you for an update.
There we go.
And perhaps, you know, if they have us on the show, mm-hmm. perhaps, as we are often want to do,
yes.
we will steer the conversation towards the bowels.
Of course.
Right.
Yes.
Turn the tables on those chaps.
Our favorite segments, you know, simply we're sorry we had to call at this hour of the morning, but, you know, business has to be taken care of.
Catherine Cryer. Let's talk about her bathroom habits at the Fox News Channel. Yeah, she's got the square nose, man. She got the vish square nose. She used to be a judge, I believe.
Yeah, she was a very, very bright attorney, I believe.
Yeah, she's not a bad-looking woman.
I think she's a handsome woman. She is a woman who falls under the heading handsome.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, you know, it's my fault. I didn't even press down on the line. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don.
Hey. Yeah.
This is Mike from Lafayette.
Yes, sir.
I was talking about the Fox News Channel.
Right. You ever watch that?
Yeah, it's a good show. And that chick...
Poor guys in Louisiana. Keep in mind, in Louisiana, Fox News Channel is like a premium channel. It's like HBO or Showtime.
Oh, what do I take? Do I take ESPN or the Fox News Channel?
Yeah, but that girl, that woman, Edie, that's her initials.
Oh, it's her... Oh, no. It's not like Edie Gourmet. It's her,
Edie.
Edie.
Hey, Edie, baby. She's what?
She's a hottie.
Oh, she is.
Oh, she is.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Hey, you know, if we're just looking at her on TV, I bet we could just direct all of our comments towards her.
That'd be very cool.
Yeah, that would be. But, yeah, she's a hottie from Texas.
What does she look like, sir?
She's a blonde. She ain't got too much DSLs, but she's got a pretty mouth.
Yes, Mr. Clean, thank you.
She got a pretty mouth. She has a pretty mouth. I was noticing it over my jelly sandwich this morning.
All right, what about below the neck?
Huh?
Below the neck, sir.
Hello, below the neck. You know what we're talking about?
She got a nice butt. She was trying on those new Lee designer jeans they had on.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
She was
modeling,
man.
The CBS Morning News must laugh at them if they're doing features where she's trying on jeans.
I'm getting more intrigued by the minute.
Yeah. You know, it's sounding so bad.
Yeah, so bad it's good.
Uh-huh. We might have to commit to do it even without them coming on the show to tell us about it.
Yeah,
all right.
She's got a nice ass, but no rack.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, listen, since the show is taking a Larry theme, I was wondering if maybe you could play the Larry tape, the Duke Zeberts.
We played that a while ago. You know, you can't play that tape too often. You mean the one about Cooperstown?
Cooperstown.
Yeah.
That's another one where Larry, you know, we've got so many wonderful tapes of Larry falling asleep.
You know, when he does, someday he'll do something dumb again, or he'll have a real inane column, more inane than usual, right. And then we'll have the opportunity to go off a little bit on Larry King.
Larry King, hundreds of tapes just waiting.
Hello, Donna Meisch. I'm not kidding. We have...
Don and Mike?
Hey, hold on a second. You know, we have thousands of tapes here.
Right.
We must have, I'm not kidding, 50 or 60 different tapes of Larry King.
Green Bay? Where am I? I'm lost.
Many of them embarrassing boners from his radio show.
And they're wonderful.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Tape of Larry farting on the air. Yeah, the ones of him falling asleep are good. We got the tape of one of our fans calling him up and asking him about the tape that we play of him, the Cooperstown tape.
You can dock the tapes.
Yeah. yeah. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, great, thanks.
I was calling to tell you that I totally agree with your opinions on Ringo Starr. He's a complete slackass for a drummer.
Well, listen, that's not a controversial statement, sir. I think generally Ringo's hated, right, by everybody?
I have heard, and I've got to say this, because I've heard people say that Ringo is can't drum, and then I've heard people say that Ringo is an accomplished drummer. I've heard both things said, and I'm not sure. Yeah. You know, I've never seen enough of Ringo really playing the drums. You always see Ringo, like, guest spotting, you know, he comes out, like, during some sort of benefit concert and sits with seven other drummers, and they're all going, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's kind of like Charlie Watts.
Robbie?
I think a recognized opinion is that he's real steady, he's not fancy, and I know of two occasions at least where after he left, Paul redid the drum tracks.
Whoa! So that's good, I like that. That's good, Rob. That's good factual information right there.
What were the songs that Paul redid the drum tracks on?
I think it was Lady Madonna.
That's one of their tougher ones, remember. Lady Madonna, baby at your breast.
And there was something else, and it was on the White Album, because he got mad and quit during the White Album, Ringo did, but then he came back.
And the rest of them said, F you, Ringo.
Right, go ahead.
Hey, guys, I got another question.
Go ahead and quit. Get out of the group. Go marry Barbara Bach. Hello, yeah.
I have another question for you.
Yes, sir.
That CD with the old man babbling endlessly for like a...
Okay.
Chicago, Chicago, that darling down, that darling down, Chicago.
I promise today, Chicago, you're going to hear that, everybody.
Can I get a copy of that?
You know, I don't think that it's available. And listen, before you want a copy of it, I really think you should hear more than just the enticing...
I'm waiting to hate him.
...introduction.
I'm waiting
today.
To hate him.
I promise.
Well, I'll tell you what, I write electronic music, and I could use it for, like, samples.
Chicago, Chicago, my hometown. What's that great? I just want to say, or they don't do things like you don't do it all Broadway. Oh, take a lot of time, that time, you know, Chicago, my hometown.
Wow.
Oh, kiss me once, and kiss me twice, and kiss me once again. Oh, it's been a long time.
I guarantee. All right, you know what? Our next break, promise.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run a clock to see how long before you're begging me to stop playing that thing.
You don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, how long does it run in its entirety?
45 minutes,
oh,
Mike.
We won't be able to play any commercials.
Hello. Dynamite Show.
Dynamite.
Hey, buddy.
How y'all doing?
Great, thank you.
Hey, I'm calling from the toilet.
Hey, fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Hear a flush?
All right. Did you do your business?
Oh, yeah.
Did you look?
Oh, of course.
Successful? Mission accomplished?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
There's no need to look at that mess you've left. No need.
Well,
it never changes.
Make sure that you're consistent.
All right, sure. Let's hear the toilet flush.
All right, hold on a second.
Although, why we like hearing this, I don't know.
I don't know. It's sick. It's twisted. Say so long to the box of cigars.
A dead soldier. Goodbye. Well, that was a major league flush.
That was really, sounds like one of those old toilets where you get, you know, the ones with the lots of water in them. They make them now where you can't flush.
Yeah. Don't take much to get on this show, does it? Hello, Don of Mike Show.
Hey, is this me?
Yeah.
Don, I have a bone to pick with you.
All right, pick my bone.
Okay. The other day you were talking about, first of all, my name's Luigi. I'm Italian.
Right, you're Italian.
Plenty of meat on that bone.
Okay. Right. Anyways, the other day you read the a little account of the World Cup soccer game, how what a great game it was in the
hold on. Let me play some music for you. I think the only thing I've said about the World Cup is that it sucks.
Yeah, but why? Just because you don't understand it and don't like it doesn't mean
to understand. It's soccer.
It's boring, man.
The hell is there to understand?
All right, here's how you make that game better. You get yourself some goalposts. You get some helmets, you get a football, you draw some lines on the field. That's how you make it exciting.
Now, so you're telling me that the rest of the world is wrong.
Right,
and let them fight. You know, those people that follow soccer around the world, they are so desperate for physical conflict. You got to let the soccer players fight. I mean, really fight.
They're not civilized like we are, where we paint our faces burgundy and gold, and we just go to the game and scream stuff. We don't, like, beat people up.
And take our shirts off in 8 below 0 weather.
That's the stupid English.
And it's not just the English that do that.
Yeah, the English are pretty much out of
control. Hey, listen, forget it. Soccer sucks. If soccer was so great, I'd be talking about the National Soccer League every day.
And I'd like to point out something, sir, that you would be a hooligan, too, if you had to eat every single meal boiled.
Soccer is so friggin' boring.
But you know what?
I'd rather watch T-ball on television than soccer.
You couldn't play. You couldn't run around on the field that long.
Oh, listen, kiss my ass. I played soccer when I was a kid until I found out the real game, football.
Oh,
and you come down here, and I'll kick you between your nuts. I will kick your balls in for a goal.
Between. Wow. Between. You're accurate. He's Well, that's what he is, Buzz.
Right.
He's deadly accurate.
Yeah. Well, get out of here.
The deadly accuracy.
Soccer fag.
You can't make a sports argument. It's not fair to attack people that are talking about sports, too. Because if you make that argument, then it's like, well, you couldn't keep up with those professional football players. You couldn't skate as fast as those NHL players.
Of course not.
It's not a good argument.
I'm sure I can kick your ass, though, Luigi.
Right between the nuts.
I get a three-pointer on your nuts
with a pointed shoe.
A Tom Dempsey shoe. Tom Dempsey, that guy, he was the Dennis Murphy of the NFL.
That's a square-toed shoe. That would flatten it.
He got half a foot and half an arm, and he kicked a long field goal. Uh-huh. Big, fat guy. Looked like a walrus.
Really one of the best things I've ever seen in the NFL when he kicked that field goal.
Much better than his stupid soccer games. Yeah, I hate that. Looks like a bunch of jockeys out there. A bunch of little short guys wearing their pretty silks. What an exciting game. 1-1. Ooh. How long did that friggin' take? An hour and a half? You like it so much, move there, Luigi.
Oh, God.
Get out of my country. We love the real football here.
I'm so glad my nephew's not in town. If my nephew was in town, I'd have to make a token argument just to be able to go home.
Mike, all kids play soccer. Your nephew, mm-hmm. He will grow out of it.
You think so?
When he realizes he can put a helmet and pads on and knock a guy down. Who wants to do that? What do you do? You kick it and, maybe you'll knock it in with your head. Yeah. Sucks. Really does.
I love your
arena, and I mean this sincerely. Arena football is a million times better than soccer.
Faster.
More exciting.
Mm-hmm.
More exciting.
I agree.
I'd rather watch that stupid thing they have with the quarterbacks in Hawaii. Trying to throw the football through tires.
Skills challenge.
I'd rather watch that than watch soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, the other...
And I'll tell you something else.
Oh, I got a tough one for you.
Yeah?
It's near and dear to my heart here.
Okay.
But you're right. You got a choice, okay?
Yeah.
The final round of the U.S. Open or the last World Cup game?
Golf in a heartbeat.
Oh, good.
Wow. I'll tell you, and here's the lowest. I'd watch the X Games before I would watch soccer.
Wow. Skateboarding?
And the X Games really suck.
They do.
I will watch that before. I would watch X Games highlights. Shows from previous X Games before I'd watch a current soccer game. So don't even bother calling anymore, Luigi. Go back to Italy. Hello?
Yeah, the song on the White Album was Back in the USSR. I'll show you around.
Complicated, another complicated song. You can see why Paul took that out of Ringo's
hand.
Rob,
that is the best fun fact I think you've ever shared with us. I didn't know that they actually removed Ringo off certain tracks.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, hi.
Hi, how you doing? Listen, I heard you talking a number of times over the last couple months. We all love to listen to you about Bart and your wife and everything like that. Gives a good insight into you. But I had a question. The last time I heard you say it, I just wanted to know, did you really think that because you have a popular show, that makes you a good friend?
Because I have a popular show, does that make
me
more?
Wait, hold on, you dropped out.
Hold on, I didn't hear exactly what you said. Say it again, your phone dropped out.
It dropped out, totally. What did you say?
The last time I heard you say it, a gentleman came on, and you were talking about watching TV with Bart. And you were saying that because you had a national syndicated broadcasted show, that makes you a great parent.
Well, I never said that. I don't know what you were listening to. I never said that.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I never said that.
No, he never said that.
The guy kind of got belligerent, and you said, well, why don't you wait till you get a show?
Right.
You know that everybody's listening to.
Yeah.
And.
Right. That's my comeback. That's my comeback to a big mouth. Some guy who wants to bust my balls, I say, hey, go get your own national show. You can say whatever you want. That has nothing to do with how I raised my kid.
Right.
Well, I want to tell you, I agree with you in soccer, and I think everybody will. And I don't.
I mean this from the bottom of my heart. F you. You're a dope. Try listening to the show, you idiot. I tell you what, do you have kids? Bring them to me, and I will raise them as my own.
Oh, that is so generous. You will raise his children. You know, that house of yours is just going to be filled with children that are looking to be raised.
Tell your son that he doesn't have to look forward to the all-male boarding school, and tell your daughter the life of prostitution is not what awaits her.
Poor Bart's going to be having a problem, I think.
You know, you're not bright enough to do this. I have to tell you, if you're going to bust balls, you really have to have it together.
Balls, I'm just saying that.
Why is my kid going to have a problem?
Well, because you really have got it clueless about life.
Listen, I'd like
to
repeat.
You're a great entertainer.
Okay, hold on. No, Mike, I don't need you. Let me just.
No, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I would like
there
to repeat his sentence, okay? And you said, I would like to say you thing. That's what you said. I mean, it doesn't. Your words are not making sense.
Listen, I want to tell you something.
The car phone, but it's taken me years to get through.
Listen, you piece of garbage.
You guys are such great entertainers, but really, from philosophically, you guys just suck.
Really, from philosophically.
How do you know anything about anything that really goes on in my life or in Mike's life or anybody's life?
Just hearing you guys talk.
Right. I do that to relate to people, you douche.
Fantastic.
You're right. I'm a great entertainer. I'm a hell of a father. I'm a better person than you, and I said it to you before. F you. And furthermore, bring me your kids, and I'll turn them both into whores.
I'm sure you would, because only you could turn guys into whores.
I'm sorry. Yes, there are male prostitutes, and I was just being the great entertainer that I am. I wouldn't really wish that on your children.
There you go. Appreciate it, guys.
Oh, F you. You laugh. Go ahead, laugh, you stupid bastard.
And then he runs away.
F you.
We could have lingered.
You know, someday my kid's going to be old enough. I'm going to call him up and get him to say F you to these people. But not until he's 18.
What is he?
He's at home right now enjoying the perfect life that I give him. Because I'm a perfect father. And my wife's the perfect mother. Let's have a little contest in a few years to see which one of our kids turns out better.
Mm-hmm.
I put my money on my kid anytime. Kiss my ass.
Meanwhile, that guy will be talking to his kid, you know, across one of those cages. How you doing, son? Are they treating you well in here?
Hey, Don and Mike show.
Hey,
I'm a great father because I have a national radio show.
Yeah, right. I remember when you make that statement each and every day.
You people. Go ahead and die.
Everything going all right?
Hey, things are super, my friend.
Okay, man, I just want one comment about the last guy there. I don't think he knows anything about raising kids because I think he was like a homosexual.
Right, and of course, homos can't raise kids. Thank you. Trent Lott calling in.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Idiots beget idiots.
You know, the problem is when you talk about your life on the radio, of course I talk about goofy things that people can relate to. And some guys with small IQs like that guy hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and what do you think I'm doing at home? Just sitting around on my fat ass and watching TV 24 hours a day? Well, right, maybe I am. But maybe I'm not. Maybe I just tell you what I want to tell you.
Yeah.
Right? It'd be pretty boring if I sat around and told you what a great guy I am.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying I could do it.
You're not saying you couldn't do it, right?
Right. That's right. That's right. Hello.
You know, I think maybe one day we might just have to devote an entire show to it.
All right. I'll let you know. I'll start making a list.
Good.
Hello.
Hey, Don?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Yeah, who was that fruitcake in there on there before anyway? I bet he had
And this is the part of the show I love.
I hate
this
part of the
folks,
show.
Folks, I'm being facetious. People call and bust my balls all the time. I really don't give a frig. So everybody, you're wasting your time when you call afterwards. Well-meaning. I tell you this, you're all well-meaning.
Very well-meaning.
Well, when you all call up and go, hey, man, that guy was really a dick. I know he was a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I've let it go. Please, y'all let it go.
Let's move forward. Ever forward.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Get over it, huh?
Right.
Yeah. What'd you call it besides that?
No, I just thought I'd put in my 2 cents.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, goodbye now.
2 cents?
Goodbye. Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Yes, on the end of it.
Hello.
If you don't play that tape with that old man, I'm going to crap my pants.
Okay.
Chicago, that darling, Chicago.
That was not the original
crap
in your pants guy.
No,
that's not a good one to have a pretender.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. One more call, and then we will hear that tape in its entirety. No, F you. F you. I mean, F you. F me, F you. F your families, too.
F your families, too?
Not in my show. Speaking to someone else, sir. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to somebody else.
Families.
Hello, what?
I read a book about the Beatles, and you know, they're always giving Yoko Ono the credit for breaking them up, but had an interview with Ringo in this book where he said that Paul McCartney's wife, the one broke him up.
Oh, yeah. Speak ill of the dead, sir. Go ahead. Now that she's gone, you finally come out of the woodwork.
Listen, it's universally known that Yoko's the biggest pain in the ass in the world.
Listen to her voice. You ever hear on those albums when she sang with John?
Only once. that was enough.
Right.
That would break up the Beatles, and that would break up any kind of cat fight you would ever see.
Right. Listen, Linda McCartney from the grave is still laughing at Yoko Ono's ability to sing. Come on. We all know what a bad singer Linda McCartney was, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
George Harrison calling the show there.
Thank you.
I love it when he uses his American accent.
Thank you. Don and Mike. I said that was the last call. This will be the last call. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
There she is, Linda McCartney. The winner in a singing contest against Yoko Ono anytime.
Hey.
Do we have...
That is beautiful.
In our vast archives, I don't think we have any really bad Yoko, do we?
There's no good Yoko. We have no Yoko. Do we have anything?
Oh, Rob, come on. Rob's being funny.
Don't we have a copy of Yoko Ono really trying to sing something? Why don't you look like in the Weekend Jazz Collection?
Yeah.
That seems like the type of crap they play, right?
Yoko. Spotlight on Yoko Ono.
On the Weekend. Hello.
Yeah, when are you going to play the CD of the guy from Caddyshack singing all them songs?
Guy from Caddyshack. Now he's identified as the guy from Caddyshack.
Like it. Okay, coming up next. Jack.
All right.
Mudry.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Been to Round Table Pizza lately?
Pizza of the Round Table. Thank you very much for calling, sir. I would just like to remind you guys, I hate it when I have to do this.
Yes.
I'd like to remind you that Nice of the Round Table doesn't buy commercials on our station in Sacramento, yet the other place that's named the pizza after us,
right?
They do buy commercials, and they're pissed
when
you say Nice of the Round Table, because we don't even know the name of the place that bought the commercials.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, then let me be the first one to offer my heartfelt apologies from Pizza of the Round Table.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, goodbye. And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
HBO had this special on, the jail special, a couple of months ago. Now, normally when you see a special about jail, it's on regular TV, and there's a lot of shit they don't show. Oh, not the HBO jail special. Oh, they showed it all. They were interviewing a brother in there. They said, now, sir, when a new inmate comes in and he wants some drugs, how do you initiate him? The guy goes, well, the first thing I do is make him toss my salad. The guy's like, toss my salad? Well, what's that? God, well, having your salad toss means having your now with jelly or syrup. I prefer syrup. I'm not making this up. And then the guy said, why must you go through all of that, sir? Why not just oral sex? And the guy goes, when easy, he knows his ass.
That's right, I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right, I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, bro. I know what I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Were you serious about poker?
Yes.
Because my wife bought the fuzzy table.
Yeah, I want to... Here's what I want to do. I think my wife knows how to play. She's going to teach me. I'm serious about poker, but I don't want to go to the first poker game without knowing the game. Because I'm certainly... I know exactly what would... You know the game, right?
Kind of.
Sort of. Rob knows the game.
He probably knows it better than either you or I.
Okay. Rob, maybe if, like, we had a little tutorial maybe for 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, practice session.
Around here. But when I get into that environment, I could just see it. I could see it right now. Yeah, Mike, why don't we raise you 50?
So,
but I'd love the whole concept actually is exciting to me.
We're getting the table that has the green fuzzy stuff on it, and it's got the drink holders built into the table and a little place for your cards.
Right.
So here's the thing. We need 6 guys to play poker, right?
Okay.
There's
6. You need 6 for poker?
Well, I'm getting 6
ideally.
Chairs.
Okay, that's cool.
I'm getting 6 chairs.
All right.
So that's me and you, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Now, Barty wants to play.
Okay.
So he'll play until his bedtime at least. So he's the third. Then I have Rob Spiewak.
Yeah.
That would make 4.
Right.
Okay. Also, I was thinking about asking Dr. Tom, you know, the guy that fixed your shoulder?
The guy
that fixed my knee?
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be great.
He'd be a good one.
Okay.
And that means there's 1 spot left.
All right.
So that's the question. Who's the last one?
I
know you were going to say Broyhill, right?
Well, does Buzz or Broyhill, I mean, is Buzz a poker guy?
Oh, come on. Buzz would be no fun at that poker
party.
Right,
you know, he doesn't strike me as the poker type.
No offense to Buzz, you know.
You got to get one of the junkies.
Buzz,
they're on the air, so we can't use the junkies because they're on the air.
Buzz is a good guy I like to watch TV with or go to a movie with, but not to play poker with.
You know who?
Who?
You know, I'm just a wild card.
Okay, who?
Tim McWilliams.
Maybe when we play at your house.
Okay.
I don't know if I want Tim McWilliams to know where I live.
Oh, God. You need a sixth. You're looking for a sixth.
Yeah, I was thinking about
this. You need a poker type. You got to have the right mixture of people.
We could invite one of the junkies or both of the junkies if we played on a Saturday. That was my next question.
Okay.
Do you want to play on Friday night or do you want to play on Saturday night? Because a lot of times, you know, Saturday night, date night number two. A lot of people have plans
I'd rather play on a Friday night.
After the show,
yeah,
right?
After the show.
Like after the show, everybody come over to my house.
Yeah, it's a good night to do that.
We get some food. We get some beer.
Yeah, it's not a school day the next day.
We have some cigars.
Yeah. Absolutely. Friday night would be cool.
All right. Well, then that leaves the junkies out. That means we just have the one spot left.
Wait, now, Broyhill, is he a poker player?
Well, I don't know if he's a poker player. You know how antisocial he is.
Yeah, that's true. You need a, you know, you're doing
it. We might as well have a potted plant sitting in the chair if we're going to have Charles Broyhill come over.
But you like the idea of, like, doing it every month at somebody else's house,
well,
right?
Yes, except I'm the guy that's buying the table.
Right.
So I would have to be, like, every other month at my house. Otherwise,
okay,
otherwise
right.
My wife is going to kill me because the table costs a fortune.
I'm just trying to think of what table I would use. And how big does the table have to? Can you use like a regular kitchen table to do it?
Yeah, I guess you could. Well, you know, I mean, I'm just into it, Mike, because I'm getting the whole big fuzzy green
table. Well, I got a great table for it, which in the kitchen but I wouldn't want to use the kitchen. I'd take that down into like the rec room and, you know, where we could smoke and open the windows
yeah.
and stuff.
All right,
like
well,
that.
Sure. As long as I could be like the every other stop.
Yeah, that's
like
cool.
If it's at my house and at your house and back at my house and maybe at Rob's house.
That works for me. That
okay.
works for me. No, I'm doing this, you know, that's cool. It's just,
Then who's the six? That's what we need. We need the one. Not you, Dobie. Oh, forget about it. David Hainline just wanted to know if he could play.
No, I'd smack him. I'd smack him inside the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's got to be someone that we think we could get along with in a social situation, right?
Sonny Jurgensen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hey, I'd go for that, except I don't think he'd come.
No, he wouldn't come.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, I'm Diana.
Hi, Diana.
I was wondering about Charlie Stossel.
Oh, please.
You know, he'd be a good emergency guy, okay? Like if someone couldn't play.
Uh-huh.
That's seriously, I mean,
maybe
he's a good guy for other stuff, but you know, poker.
Like if we were playing Old Maid, maybe Charlie Stossel would be good if we were playing Go Fish.
Absolutely.
Charlie could serve hors d'oeuvres. Get him a nice apron, it might be nice.
Yeah, we need the sixth.
Now, how long does the average poker game last? But they can go all night.
Right. I think we should probably, if we're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, we should go like 3 hours. Like if the show's over at 7,
right?
Let's say everybody's in my house by 8.
Right.
You get something to eat. Mm-hmm. We start playing cards by 8:15.
Yeah.
Maybe we knock off at midnight.
Okay. That sounds cool. Smoke filled room, and
right.
You know, we see you get. And are we gonna play for real money?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right.
Come on. What's the fun if you don't play for real money?
Amen.
Right.
Hey guys.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say I've been listening to you since you were on WAVA, and I'm very excited. I'm gonna come see you guys tonight at Blackie's.
How old are you?
24.
So that means. I always like asking girls this.
Mm-hmm.
Did you become a woman listening to our show?
You know what? I guess I did.
Let me ask some specific questions. When you started listening to us, had you had your first period yet?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't remember?
Can you think about it?
Well, I was in elementary school. I know that. No,
well,
I wasn't.
Probably no. All right. So you know, yeah.
And then you were also, when you started listening to our show, you were a virgin and someone obviously deflowered you. Right? I just like knowing that we were there with listeners, especially with girls through the...
Yeah, we've been there the whole time.
Important
yeah.
parts of their life.
That's in some sick way, that is important to us.
Through their first menstruation,
mm-hmm.
through their first, in many times, pregnancy.
Yeah, are you married?
No.
So you're still single.
You ever had an abortion?
No.
All right. You know, that's... For some people, that's a benchmark, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, we could be there.
Yeah. We're your friends. You know, no matter how good it's going or bad it's going in your life, we're there. We're the one consistent thing.
Well, come out tonight.
Okay.
We'll size you up.
All right.
Okay. We still have to pick a sixth.
Yeah.
Jim McClure is just hanging out. Look at it. Look at him over there. You're just, you're hanging out because you want an invite, right?
Big gum, Jim.
You want it? Yes, you do. You
come
got
in
the
here.
Grin on.
Come in here for a minute.
You're a cool guy.
You want to be the center? Oh, he asked me about it last week.
He really?
Yeah.
That's why
I
you
did.
Came
no.
back there.
I'm actually running tape back there.
But you
but
were
I was looking and laughing. I just don't get to see you doing the show often anymore, so I like to laugh.
All right. You're a, are you a poker player?
Once in a while.
Yeah, he said to me last week that he wanted to play.
I would play if asked, but I think I'm better as a substitute because I think maybe a rank above Charlie Stossel a little bit. But
hey, you know something? You know, we are going to need an extra for after Bart goes to bed.
Yeah, so, right, so we'll ask Jim McClure to come over and maybe just sit upstairs and watch TV for 3 hours until it's time for Marty to go to bed.
You need
to
snuggle on the bench.
Yeah, well, see, this ends up like maybe hurting people's feelings. And
yes, of course.
I don't want to hurt Big Gum Jim's feelings. He's a good guy.
You've done that once before.
When? What, with the thing with your girlfriend?
No, with the party.
Yeah, you with did. What party?
The last time you had a party at your house.
Oh, I didn't invite him.
But you know something? You're ahead of me because at least you've had a party at your house.
Hello, Charles.
Hello. Got a phone call from somebody here who would love to be on the list.
Who's that?
Tim McWilliams.
Tim McWilliams? Mike mentioned his name.
Let me just tell you something, okay? I just want to say this, okay? I want to make a statement about Tim McWilliams. When you're talking poker, and I know what you're saying, sustaining it throughout the evening, I just think for that type of activity,
okay,
nobody would be better for that table. He would add an element to that table of poker players that would be perfect.
And here's what I say to you.
Okay.
There's been a change in Tim McWilliams.
Really?
Well, you've noticed it. In the last...
You mean the success that he's had?
In the last month or so, Tim McWilliams, who's a sales guy, we've had him on the show.
Right.
Right? He's come out of his shell on our show.
Yes, he has.
And he's the guy, you know, we've talked about him. He's here on Sunday morning when I come in to do the Redskins thing.
Yeah, workaholic.
Right? He's the guy that sleeps in the basket under his desk. He's here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was always... the working man.
Yes.
Right? I mean, his clothes.
Yeah, absolutely.
His clothes were definitely, wouldn't you categorize his clothes as definitely like JCPenney right off the rack?
Absolutely, yes.
Like you and like me?
Not a guy that put a lot of time into it, a guy that actually, you know, liked to put his nose to the grindstone, but the frills, the accoutrements, it didn't matter.
Have you seen him recently? Have you seen his outfits?
I have a defense for that.
He is dressing like Michael Douglas in the movie Wall Street.
I propose to you.
And I think there's been a change in Tim McWilliams.
I say nay. Tim McWilliams has been forced to do that, like several in the Earl Merton tradition, Tim McWilliams was forced by Alan Linewand to make those purchases. They put pressure on people to dress that way.
Yes, Big Gum Jimmy?
I hear the rumor is that Alan actually went out shopping with him.
Absolutely.
Picked his clothes
out
for
him. That is the truth.
Are you
kidding
me?
That is the story as I know it.
Well, then that's a low blow from Alan Linewand.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it's the same old Tim, Don. You know something?
I'll tell you what.
I'll let you off the hook here. He lives very close to where I live.
I mean, I like Tim. He's a good guy.
I think the first time we do it at my house, we'll have him.
Okay.
All right? That'll be cool.
It's just, you know, that's a real change with Tim McWilliams. He's gone from wearing, like, ratty pants and shirts that have stains in them and stuff. All of a sudden, he's wearing pleated pants. Mm-hmm. He's got shiny shoes.
Right.
He's got... For goodness sakes, he got cufflinks like Mel has.
Does he really?
Yes.
I didn't notice the cufflinks.
Did you notice the watch?
Yeah,
he's
the
got
watch
a watch
chain.
That has a gold chain that hangs in his pocket.
Same old Tim, though. He's the same. But you know something? We still need a first six.
Elitist Tim. Not the same.
Yeah, just talk to him, Don.
I think success has changed to McWilliams.
He'll bring you around. He will bring you. We still need a sixth player.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Why don't you let Lewis play with you?
Right, listen, I would let Lewis, except we would have to do like Batman, then we'd have to give him bat gas.
But, you know, you're going to have
he wouldn't know where I lived.
You're going to have a lot of people there, so you could have Lewis park the cars.
No, listen, you're going to get your fill of Lewis on the show. And I get my fill of Lewis already in real life. I had to have another agonizing conversation with Lewis today.
Really? He called you today?
Right, because he wanted to know tonight at the show, should he really wear the suit that he wore the other day to the show?
Will he be coming by the show?
Yes, he'll be here. And
Lewis.
He wants to get a job at Winx at the little station, the suburban station that I first worked at. And
I think he should.
Right, I told him to do that also.
Good, I'm glad you gave him the right advice.
Anything to get him out of here, get him out of our hair, and get him in their hair. And he's just... He's just crazy, man.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that show.
They keep saying that he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that a little too much, man.
Yeah, it's very disconcerting. And he actually, and you know, Christine, I mean, he stares at Christine's neck all day.
Yeah, that'll be some fun tonight at the Vegas-style show because we'll bring the two of them up on stage to point out the sexual energy that is there from Lewis and the virtual Berlin Wall that Christine surrounds herself with when Lewis is around.
Yeah, it'll be a good night to do that.
I just saw Tim McWilliams walk by.
Yeah, did he signal? Did he give me any kind of signal?
No, he walked. But Tim, come in here, man. Plead your case.
I think you should.
Look at the clothes he's wearing today.
I don't care. I think he's the everyman, and I think he was forced to buy those clothes by Alan Lyon. You heard what Jim said. Jim McClure said that Alan actually went shopping with him.
How could that be, though?
He did that.
How could that be?
Big thing for Alan.
Oh, he could sue Alan's ass for that, right?
I don't know.
We live in a litigious society.
I think Alan does it in such a way that it's not really an ultimatum. It's just like, hey, well, come on, let's go out here.
Well, then how come he doesn't take David Heinlein out with him?
What, you know, what will be...
Look at what David Heinlein wears right off the rack, Sears and Roebuck.
David Heinlein actually buys his clothes in very nice places, and then I think he puts them in the glove compartment.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, George.
Hey. Hi, George.
How you doing?
Doing great.
You don't need a sixth person. Some games you might even run out of cards if you give a free card.
Yeah, but I got six chairs. Oh, hold on, hold on. Okay. Here's Tim McWilliams. Thank you. Thanks sure. for the
Tim McWilliams. Man, looking good again
See,
tonight.
Thank you. Check out his outfit today. Look at him today. Look at that. He's got on the black pleated pants.
Mm-hmm.
He has on a very high quality, I'm guessing that's a genuine cowhide belt. And please, Mike, as my last bit of
yes,
as my last bit of evidence, Tim, if you would please put out your right hand.
My right hand.
Your right hand. And would you, Mike, would you please observe the pinky ring?
Tim, have you worn that ring before?
Before when?
Have you ever worn that? I mean, when did you start wearing it? Is the
last? It was about
question.
The same time that I got the clothes, maybe two or three weeks ago.
All right. See? My question to
pinky
you, Tim.
Ring, Mike. Yes. Always a bad sign. A pinky ring.
What was this change in Tim McWilliams? This new wardrobe. Was that something you did on your own, or were you in any way pressured to do that, Tim?
I did feel a little heat from certain managers.
Did he take you out and make you buy those clothes?
He being
Alan.
Did Alan take me out and help me buy the clothes? No, there's no. my out.
All right, he
no,
did not.
He did not.
Did he go with you when you bought the clothes?
He did go with me when I bought
them. And under what circumstances? Why was he with you when you went out to purchase
Mike,
the clothes?
It's as Don astutely pointed out. Several months ago, I had one of those touchy-feely conversations with my boss, my beloved Alan Limewand. I'm sitting in his office, and he says, Tim, I'll tell you what, I love you, buddy. You work hard, you get it done, but I'll tell you, you dress like a rat. I mean, you just look terrible. Your shoes, look, your belt doesn't match your shoes. I came from a construction background. What do I know right. about belts? Belts have to match shoes? What do I know about this? He says, I'll tell you what, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about here. I'll take you out next time. I said, no, Alan, I really, you know, I've been doing this for years. I know what I'm doing.
You should sue him. That's clothes harassment, man.
It turns out we went out on a call one day, and we're driving a long way home. So I says, hey, Alan, what's up with, the scenic route? He says, I just want to introduce you to somebody. So you know.
I think you are being unfairly punished.
Yes.
I would like to line up all of the salespeople right now.
Yes,
I would like
man.
To line them all up and say, hey, you know, if you're going to do a makeover,
mm-hmm.
first off, you start with a guy that, well, I don't even know the guy's name, but the guy with the receding hairline.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
You start with him.
Herb Tarlick?
Yeah. Who dresses that guy, for goodness sakes,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. The guy that really looks like he's working at the Laugh Factory in 1975.
Right. The guy that wears, stripes with plaid.
Yeah, okay. I know exactly
Tim,
who you're
talking
not
about. The worst violator of the fashion code back
That's
there.
Right.
Well, so says Alan, I was, and talk to the old man. He'll give you the straight poop.
Okay, I
see, I told you. See, now there.
Then I must apologize, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
If what you're saying is that you are the same Tim McWilliams that we've always known and loved.
I've always been the same. Anybody that knows me knows I haven't changed at all. I've heard about this poker game. Now, I don't know much about poker, Don.
That amazes me.
I've never played the game. Is that the one where you have, seven cards?
He is setting us up on
this.
Oh,
he is. No.
That's
no.
right.
You
are totally setting us up
That's
on
right.
this.
That's right. You are a veteran of many Brooklyn card games.
On the Westerns, you kind of sit around
Listen.
And guys...
Weren't you friends with John Gotti or Sammy the Bull or somebody in high school?
Mr. Gotti lived in my neighborhood, but to say I was friends with him would not be a correct assessment.
Wasn't it Sammy the Bull that you went to high school with or something like that?
Sammy the Bull was also in my neighborhood. As a matter of fact, I just finished his book.
Really? Sammy's book? Very
have
interesting.
You read it?
Yes, I have read it.
Mm-hmm.
Tim McWilliams, I don't say this to many people. I apologize.
Gosh.
Same old Tim McWilliams.
Write it
Tim,
down.
Tim
write it down.
Would you honor me
by
being the sixth at our inaugural... At our first poker
Don,
game.
You got to understand, I don't know much about poker. I'm afraid that
you know something, Tim. You're just going to have to learn.
Is this like money and stuff?
You don't know much about it. That's what you called Charles Broyhill to say you wanted to be in the game.
Charlie, man.
He knows about it.
Okay. He does. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you. Tim, I apologize, and I will call Alan in just a moment to ask him about that. Well, all right, give it up for Tim McWilliams.
And now I believe we have to... fear him in that inaugural poker game. He has that, he has that card shark demeanor thing.
He wants to take our money. Hello. You know what? God bless him. He still wears his pants like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can dress him up, but he's still the same guy. I shouldn't have ever thought that he had changed.
Maybe it's a hot night, you know, that inaugural night, he'll wear one of those Archie Bunker undershirts for you.
I think he still does wear the old man undershirt all the time. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, is Tim still there?
Nah, he just walked down the hall.
Oh, damn. I used to be Tim's boss, and my bosses used to bust my balls because of a lot of his behavior, and I used to say, look, the guy is the best salesman you got. Stay out of his way.
Boy, what did Tim used to sell before he sold Radio Time?
I would sure love if Tim were there. Tim used to sell kitchens.
Kitchens. He used to sell kitchens.
And sell kitchens.
Yeah, I bet he was the best one you had.
No wonder he is wrapped so tight. How many cabinets can you sell?
Oh, you can sell many, Don. I'd knock your socks off with how many kitchen cabinets and Corian countertops I could knock out in a week.
Well, if you really know Tim McWilliams, you would be amazed to look at him now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got him. He's GQ'd to the max.
Totally. And, you know,
he's like the Pat Riley of this station.
And is that right?
And as much as I defended Tim McWilliams, I will tell you, there's a little part of him that is digging the makeover.
Yeah.
That likes him. He likes the look.
Hello, Dynamite Show. But look at you and me. We're successful. We still dress like slobs. Look at this. We have an appearance tonight. 1,000 people are going to be at. I have on a ratty pair of jeans and a T-shirt, and you're wearing your standard I'm playing golf uniform.
Yeah, but I'm putting a jacket on over it tonight, which is always what counts. That's always how I say, hey, look at this. I dressed up.
Hello, Dynamite.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Is this Dynamite Show?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, it's Laura.
Hey, Laura.
How you doing?
Have you seen my baseball?
Not yet.
Okay. Hi, Laura.
I have a question. My dog was castrated the same day Max was, and he's 6. He's 6 years old, and the dog is, like, crazier than ever now.
I'm telling you, Max is absolutely perfect. Now, he's still a little high-strung like he was, and he still sniffs the other dog's butts, and he still is humping stuff, but he's absolutely back to normal, back to being himself.
And how long did that take? I mean, it's only been, what, three days?
It took one day. The second day, he was back to being himself.
You know, if I remember correctly, there's a certain, like, opportune time to do that. And it sounds like it's with a six-year-old dog that maybe you did it too late.
Yeah, right. He was probably, you're absolutely right. He's probably used to having them there.
Yeah, and, you know, he gets comfortable with his testicles.
Right.
And, to have them removed at the age of 6. I mean, in people years, that's like taking a 40-year-old.
A 30-year-old man, right, yeah.
He's never really been that active. I mean, he's been really mellow.
But you don't know how attached the guy could be to his genitals.
I would say there's a very safe bet that the dog, at this point, is completely and totally insane due to the loss of his genitals.
Not on my show.
Yeah, I was wondering if, Don, if you're going to go over to Mike's house for cards,
yes.
Is that going to be the first official invite over to his house?
Yes.
To his new house?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Could the rest of your family come too, or does that have to be a separate invite?
Well, you know, the separate invite, I would be more...
You know, people on this show don't forget a thing, do
absolutely
they?
Not. Absolutely. But see, Frida's already been to the house.
I bet he backs out at the last minute.
Did you hear what I said?
I would just...
Excuse me, did you hear what I said?
Yeah, but I've never been to the house.
No, you haven't, and consider this the first invite, you know, whenever after... You know, you think I'm going to back out?
Uh-huh.
I think
yeah, I do.
You think I'm going to back out?
I don't think any worse of you for it, though.
All right, now see, September, right? We're going to come back from a little break, and then we're going to have the first inaugural Friday Night Poker Party. So that would be like mid-October that I would be having the poker
Maybe sooner
party.
Than that. I mean, if
really
we could play maybe every 3 weeks, maybe.
Ooh, that's going to be a little tough.
Yeah, see what I
That's going to be a little tough for me.
What did I tell you? Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not sitting at home every night crying, going, "How come I'm not invited over to Mike's house?"
It's not exactly one of your major issues.
Although I will tell you, I have my share of night terrors about it. Yeah. I mean, I put on a brave front here, Mike.
Is that when you wake up in the middle of the night, just sit up upright in bed, going, "Why?"
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
I go, Frida. Just tell me about his kitchen. Tell me. Is it a 3-car, 2-car garage? Tell me. I don't know. Never had me there. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
Love the show.
Thanks.
Hey, I was just wondering, if Quentin had messed around with the tumor, do you think this whole thing would not be as big a deal?
The tumor. I think the tumor had hair and teeth, and
I think Monica's been very often compared to the tumor, right? She's big and sloppy, and she has hair and teeth.
You know, a few more trips to the steakhouses, and she'll look like the tumor.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, Radio God.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
Good, good. I was wondering if y'all had seen the commercial. It's for dog food, and this guy's sitting out there. He's pumping the dog food, promoting the dog food. He looks all scholarly and stuff, and he's sitting there, and next thing you know, he's like, and it has real beef, and he actually pulled out a piece of dog food and just popped it in his mouth, made me think of Rudy Marsky.
No, well, I'm glad that you could think of Rudy. You know what? We're running as late on the commercials today as we did yesterday, so please don't be offended by this, but eat my dial tone.
I forgot to tell you that out in the hallway a moment ago, a huge protest from David Hanley. Oh, like, listen, more adamant than he's ever been about anything.
He was walking by the window giving me, when I tell you, Rob, give me the sad dog eyes when
really,
he walked
like,
by the window.
Hey, buddy, what's the matter? I thought, we're compadres, we're amigos.
Right, we are friends, but listen.
He's very mad at us.
Listen, David, you have work friends, mm-hmm. and then you have, you know, friends away from work. Okay?
We're going to ask Tim McWilliams there.
Well, Tim is an away-from-work friend, and David is an office friend. Hey, listen, everybody has relationships like that. I don't mind it.
He's going to be this is not going to make him feel any better.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, is Dr. Homo in?
No, listen, I'm not into doing that right now.
I have stolen my urine.
All right, well, congratulations. Listen, let me call David Hainline up and see what his problem is. Okay. 451.
I certainly hope that individual can find help, since Dr. Lance Homo does not have office hours today.
Oh?
David.
Hey.
Don and Mike.
Hi, buddies. Hi, at work friends. I thought we were deeper than that.
Oh, well, my God.
Now, listen, David, you have...
See, from you, Don.
Well, now, David, listen, you are my friend, and I do consider you to be a buddy, but...
we don't have to hang, I understand.
Oh. Listen, maybe you can play when it's at Mike's house.
That's fine. I don't have to see your house, even though we're kind of neighbors.
Well, that's another fallacy. We're not neighbors. Okay? No, we're not neighbors.
Okay.
You can come, you know, something, David.
I was hoping to hang. And
David, you can come out to my house the second time we have it there.
Oh, I don't need to be an everyday card player. I thought it would be an easy opportunity for you guys to win a couple bucks. You know, I'm not as suave as you are with the card games. Okay. Bring some humor to it. Bring some good food. A couple jokes.
Right. Listen, David, you're painting a pretty pathetic picture right now, my friend.
Right. I just thought just being me would be enough for you guys. The other stuff's a bunch of BS.
We're sorry you're so hurt.
Yeah, I am. I am.
We like you. Listen, you're one of our top at-work friends.
I know that. I appreciate that.
We've known you longer than most people here.
And we've had some very nice memories together.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I would say at the last station, you were one of our away-from-work friends.
That's correct.
That's right.
I don't know what happened to that relationship. Why?
Well, I had children.
Why we're no longer after work friends? Well, we have kids, too.
Right. And I thought we were going to play tennis, get the wives together, do some tennis.
Okay, listen. Please, don't put me in this position. Okay?
Okay.
How many times do you ask me when are we getting together to play tennis? You've asked me, like for how many years now? And I always say, David, very soon, man. Very soon, right?
Well, you think I'm going to hit you with the tennis ball. That's the problem why you don't want to play. You think I'm going to bean you.
Right, that's it, David.
That's exactly what it is. That's what Don told me it was.
I was going to do it very nicely and have fun.
Fear of injury, that's the main reason.
And then Jill and Frida can talk about their RE video experiences.
At work, friend.
Okay.
Thanks. Love you, David.
Love you, too.
See you later.
Bye.
That was salesperson David Hanline.
I hit him over the head with a hammer so he gets the point. Right? Jeez, I hate doing that. I hate... You know, being like that.
Yeah, I get him out in the hallway with the hangdog, the big hangdog. You know,
see what you made me do, David? See what you made me do? Well, as long as we're on the topic, let's call the general sales manager and find out if he really did take Tim McWilliams out and order him to buy nicer clothes.
Took him, put him in the trunk of his car, Tim McWilliams, and drove him to the clothing store.
Calling general sales manager and all around.
Alan.
Hey, Alan, it's Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Calling Alan, great sales guy, real ball buster back there.
Absolutely, does his job better than most.
Some of his sales meetings are absolutely brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, we understand that you recently took Tim McWilliams to a clothing store, and you actually tutored him on the clothes to buy?
Who told you that?
Tim McWilliams.
Well, you know.
You know, we actually pressed him on it, Alan. We actually grilled him and said, hey, did Alan make you... You know,
well,
Alan,
this is not the first time.
This is not the first time this has happened.
You guys now know Tim McWilliams pretty well.
Hey, you know, now that I think about it with Alan, I mean, I don't want to hurt David Hainline's feelings.
Right.
I put... Like, Alan Linewand would be a good...
Good poker guy.
A good guy.
No.
Yeah, to join our poker group.
Absolutely.
I think he'd be a good guy to have in our group.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, with that said, we now can resume the line of questioning about you forcing employees to buy clothes.
How bad do you think that David Heinlein feels right now that he's not one of our away-from-work friends yet? Alan Leinwand, hey, I would maybe put in that category.
I know a way to make David feel better.
Yeah?
Would Jeff Shrinsky ever be included in the poker group?
No.
There you go.
Never.
Never.
David, you're ahead of Jeff Shrinsky.
Bingo! There you go.
How you like that, David?
Bravo.
You're very far ahead of Jeff. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's a tie. You know, Shrinsky's not that bad, Mike.
No, he's not. You think Shrinsky would actually move ahead of David Heinlein?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Rob was shaking his head. No, I know you were rooting for David in that one, weren't you, Rob?
Oh, you want me to repeat what you said on the air about David?
No.
Okay. Rob and I were having that discussion a minute ago. Right. Alan, so anyway, listen. You took Tim McWilliams out. You forced him to buy some new clothes.
Well, what would you... I mean, please, you guys know Tim McWilliams. You can't force him to do much.
Mm-hmm.
I would say...
I think it's bring your daughter to work day today, too, isn't it, Alan?
Well, I...
Oh, is that what that noise was? Is that your daughter in with you today?
Well, busted, you know?
Oh, man, she's adorable.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we... Like Mr. Mom today.
How could such an evil man make such a beautiful child?
It's amazing. It really is truly amazing how it happened.
Well, I owe it all to my wife, what can I say?
Hey, your wife's a nice lady. She's pretty hot also. You know, as a matter of fact,
I think so.
You ever come over for poker, you bring her over too.
Or why don't I just send her over and I'll stay home?
Cool! Hey, that's the best possible solution.
Fantastic.
Well, listen, here's the question. Did you feel at all awkward?
Tell her to wear one of those casino outfits.
Listen, I feel awkward every time I have to spend 5 minutes with Tim McWilliams.
So you must have felt super awkward taking him into the store. Did you actually say to him, get these black pleated pants, get the cufflinks, get the pinky ring?
No, I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with the watch that he wears in his pocket. There's plenty I have nothing to do with.
Okay. But you did take him to the store to buy him his new school clothes.
Well, I led him in a direction. Let's put it that way. And I guess I actually walked into the store with him.
Final question. Did you accompany Tim into the fitting room?
No, that would be a sorry sight.
And would it be safe to say, because I am president of the Tim McWilliams fan club, that Tim is one of your more productive workers here, Alan?
He is very productive.
There you go.
And we've got a lot of productive workers, but he is definitely... He does a great job for us.
You know, I'm looking at the list of the employees here, and without mentioning any names, how come... You know, how come Tim is the only one that has to get this fashion penance? I mean, I see plenty of people here, male and female, who, you know, need to be taken to the gap.
Hey, no offense, guys, but you are pretty busy all day long doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually spend a lot of time looking at the way Tim looked.
Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you, Alan, have you ever taken a good look at the clothes Mitch Johnson wears?
Well, you know, hey, one step at a time, you know?
And David Heinlein, if you want to feel better about yourself, you're definitely ahead of Mitch Johnson.
Yay!
All right, maybe not.
Hey,
maybe it's close.
Rome wasn't built in a day. That's all I have to say.
Gotcha. Thank you, Alan.
All right.
Bye-bye. There he is.
You know why I mentioned that
sales
about...
Sales guy extraordinaire, Alan Leinwand.
The reason I mentioned that about Tim McWilliams being a good worker there, because, you know, it's just... It kills Alan when he has to say something like...
Give a compliment.
Yes, we have a lot of people that work here. He is very productive.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Where is Jeff Spicoli? I saw him earlier today near the first floor bathrooms. Is he still on campus? Anyone? Yes, Desmond?
I saw him by the food machines.
How long ago?
Right before class.
Okay. Bring him in. What is this fascination with truancy? What is it that gets inside your heads? There are some teachers in this school who look the other way at truants. It's a little game that you both play. They pretend they don't see you. You pretend you don't ditch. Now, who pays the price later? You.
Wait a minute. There's no birthday party for you here. Oh, Mr. Hahn.
What's the reason for your truancy?
You couldn't make it on time.
You mean you couldn't or you wouldn't?
It was like a full crowd scene at the food line.
Food will be eaten on your time. Why are you continuously late for this class, Mr. Spicoli? Why do you shamelessly waste my time like this?
I don't know.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a friend of Elaine's.
Oh, hi.
Oh, look at the cute little bastard. You are mommy's little bastard, aren't you?
What the hell are you doing harassing my tenants?
Oh, come on, you son of a bitch. I'm just trying to be friendly.
All right, that's it. Let's go.
Where an uninformed listener is our best customer. The Don and Mike Show.
We will actually track with them since George Ken's limo driver.
Yes.
Isn't that sad? That Mike and I drive ourselves to work every day.
Yes, we do.
Yet the general manager has a limo.
He has a limo wherever he goes. And George is
and
one of the
Weasel.
Greatest guys in the world, and he takes Ken wherever Ken wants to go.
So George, Ken's driver, will be taking Tyra and the lucky guy or gal to the restaurant. We'll converse with them on the way to the restaurant, and then if they'll go along with it, we're going to give them a cell phone, and maybe we'll call them during dinner.
That's great. I wonder if George will be included in dinner.
No, George will wait in a car.
Okay.
That's what George does.
His job.
George likes sitting in the car.
And talking football with you.
No, basketball, Mike.
I thought he likes talking football with you.
He's a black guy. Come on, it's basketball. It's basketball. Hey, the white guys didn't win last night, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one guy, that black guy, he can't be from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's from Los Angeles.
They brought him in.
That's right. They recruited him.
Brought him into Utah. And Utah has the fat coach, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And not only do they have the guy from L.A., because a lot of those guys on that team are from Utah. And a lot of the guys from Kentucky were like from Kentucky and from neighboring states like Georgia.
Right.
Utah's got that dude who's got the two dots over one of the letters in his name. His name is like Lekwalensa or something like that. He's like from Finland or something.
You can do it.
Yeah, right. Big George Murison type
there
guy.
There we go. Score the basket. 3-point range. Top of the key.
Do you think they rioted last night in Kentucky? Did anything happen last night, Buzz?
Well, what happened was outside of the arena. I saw a videotape of them going nuts, but it was a good kind of nuts. It didn't look like anything, at least when they got
anybody towards cars or anything.
I didn't see a lot of flame.
That's the traditional American way,
right,
to celebrate a team's victory. Overturn cars, loot, steal, set things on fire.
Right. Mostly just fights from heavy drinking is mostly what we're reading reports of today. Oh, that's an average Tuesday. That's an average Monday night.
Just fist fights. We're on in that city. We're on in that Kentucky city.
Lexington.
We're on that station. Let me call out there.
Okay, good. Good chance to call Kentucky.
606 area.
And, of course, Kentucky, one of the teams that was predicted to win the championship. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, they screwed up my pool. I think I had Duke in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Pussies. North Carolina pussies.
How do you think that coach is?
Magic 1390.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes. Is this WMJR?
Yes, it is.
Yes, this is Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi. Can we talk to somebody about the mayhem that may have ensued in your city last night?
Oh, okay. You sure can. Hold on just a moment.
You have a news department?
Yeah, Hold on just a moment.
Let's talk to Les Nessman.
You have a news department, really? Or is it like our news department? Say hi to our news department.
Hi.
Hello?
Yeah. Hold on just a moment.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Utah had more crazy fans, though. More guys with their face painted, and more guys who do that thing where they cut out the basketball and put like half of it on the top of their heads.
Which is a great look. I think that's a good look. It keep you warm, too, I would think, with the insulation properties of the rubber basketball.
Hello?
Hey, guys.
Who's this?
This is Mike Todd.
Mike Todd?
Yes.
Mike Todd, are you the news guy, Mike Todd?
No, I'm the program director, Mike Todd.
Oh, hello, Mike.
How's it going, guys?
Going great. Listen, what happened last night? Overturned cars?
Well, you know, actually,
pillaging?
It was a lot better this year than it was 2 years ago, because pretty much the crowd trashed the town a couple of years ago when they feel a little bit more well-behaved this time.
We won, man! We won! Light it on fire! Hey, light that guy on fire!
It was pretty much like that, but this time I think the only injuries were there was a hit and run and somebody threw a bottle into the crowd, I think.
Go Cats!
Hit that guy with the car! We won!
Go Cats! You know that guy who was the original coach at Kentucky, the guy that they named their stadium after?
Uh-huh. Rupp?
That guy was a super racist. I found this out. The guy was like the last guy in the world to let a black guy on his team.
Oh, man.
Mike,
really? I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, come on. Oh, BS. You're doing your local station thing.
Yeah. Well, you know.
No, that's a very famous fact that that guy was a huge racist.
What was his name?
Rupp? His wife just died like a couple of nights ago, actually.
Well, all right, thanks for that information.
Well, you know, I'll throw that in there before you get too hard on the guy.
I just had Cher's doing the eulogy. Oh, and listen, about Cher. Wait a minute, hold on. A prediction I made on this show when Sonny died.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said Cher would turn it to her advantage.
Of course.
And I saw a commercial last night coming in May on CBS.
Yes.
Cher hosts a one-hour special, My Memories of Sonny.
Oh, there you go. Hey, because the career is dormant right now.
Right.
That figures.
Larry King says this morning that the Cher told him personally that that special would be a labor of love.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There you go.
It has nothing to do with the fact that she cannot buy a ticket to get into movies these days. But you, listen, let's talk more about this evil man, Ruff.
Yeah.
Really, is that true what I read about him? I guess it is. I read it in the newspaper.
What, about him being a racist?
Yeah, that he was like the last coach to let a black guy on his team.
You know, honestly, guys, I really don't know that for sure. I spent so much time away from Kentucky, and I've never really been a big college basketball.
You know what this is? This is a guy who's upset now because, hey, listen, this is a guy.
Oh, no.
Isn't he dead anyway?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Who cares? Let's talk about him.
It's good to speak ill of the dead.
I don't really know a lot about the guy because I've never been one to follow sports that closely.
Did you see your name was Mike Todd?
I just had it confirmed.
Look at how fast this guy's talking.
Take a breath.
This guy is.
Hey, did you say your name was Mike Todd?
Yeah.
Are you any relation to Jerry Todd?
Jerry Todd?
No, I don't think so. I don't know who that is.
Never mind.
Don't worry. It's a very, very old joke.
Don't be upset, but please be honest with us.
Here's the thing. Not at all.
I can't believe.
Personally, I did not know that, but it was just confirmed by somebody else in the station that he was. Yeah.
Yeah, read a newspaper, buddy.
Did you read about that leading up to the, and I'm talking to Don here. Did you read about that as it was leading up to the Final Four?
Yeah, that he was like the last coach, the last guy in the world. And he was like very proud of the fact that he had an all-white team.
Yeah. Hi there. Welcome
to Kentucky.
Surprise
me.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. No.
Is this subject
I don't mean that's great that he had that opinion. It's great that they've won the championship.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Imagine how mad. Isn't his first name Adolf? I'm not kidding about
it. I think so.
I think the guy's first name is Adolf.
Yeah, I think
imagine
so.
he's in heaven watching this last night. I can't believe it. That's a black man coaching my team. Black man named Tubby. Adolf Rupp.
Out of my way, I'm Hitler.
All right, listen, I got to go take a call from someone in your city who will talk to us about this fellow.
Okay, that sounds good, guys.
You might want to go down to the restroom and clean up now.
Oh, boy. All right, here's a guy from Lexington, Kentucky. Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Hey, are you a big Kentucky fan?
Absolutely. We had the wildest time last night.
That guy, that coach, was his first name Adolf?
Adolf Rupp.
Adolf Rupp.
Yeah.
How come more people don't goof on him?
Yeah, and he was. You know, I'm surprised they haven't, like, erected a statue of him in the center of the town.
It'd be quite an erection.
It would be quite an erection.
But so isn't that, hold on, let's talk about Adolf for a second, though. Isn't that true that he was the last coach to, like, let black guys on his team?
Absolutely. He refused to recruit.
And nobody talks about that. And the guy's first name is Adolf. That's funny.
Adolf Rupp.
That's really funny.
Hi, welcome to Kentucky. Listen, I know you're a fine ball player, but you will not be playing with Kentucky while I'm at the helm. Do you understand me?
You know who's good is those girls that won that girls' league.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Hey.
Yeah, they're good.
Hello.
I don't think that they're all gay either. Most female basketball players, when they get pro, they go gay.
Huh. You and Reggie White, you got together with Reggie White and you actually found that out. You figured out that's about 90% that turn gay when they get into the pros. So when they're in college, there's no lesbian tendencies at all.
Well, I watched a documentary about the Lady Volunteers on vacation last week. And it was one of those things where they followed them through every practice and through every game and with that coach yelling at them and screaming at them.
And into their bedrooms.
No. I do not think so.
Here we go.
Hey, hold on there, Keith.
Hold on.
Who is, here's our hotline. Hello? All right, don't know who that was.
Hello?
Somebody calling on the hotline. Hello?
Hello?
Could have been Mr. Adolf Rupp calling the show.
From the grave.
He's slipping right now.
Hey, dudes, it's Don and Mike.
You tell those guys right now, I'm calling from the grave.
And I don't care what they think. I'm a fine basketball coach.
And they named their stadium after him that they play in
right
down there.
You're damn right they named the stadium after me. My name is Adolph Rupp.
If I was a black person living in Kentucky, I'd be pissed.
I
wouldn't want to go into a place called Rupp Arena.
I tell you.
Rupp Arena sounds like something you...
Sour Mash and Cal Tippin. We set the town on fire.
Oh, you're talking about the big party last
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, I have a question for Don, or for Mike there.
Yes,
go ahead.
Mike, do you think both Kathy Lee and Janet Jackson both have brown camel toes?
Oh, boy. That is our first mention of a camel toe as it's called a moose's knuckle.
Monkey's uncle. A moose's uncle. No, a moose's knuckle.
A moose knuckle.
That's it, moose knuckle, not moose's. Moose's.
Moose knuckle.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to know if you guys want to play the name game.
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know.
No,
I don't think so.
Chicken.
All right. Yeah, maybe. I'm very chicken. I'm afraid of your challenge. Hello? Don and Mike. Hello?
I believe that is some sort of Asian language.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, may I speak with Don and Mike, please?
I'll tell you this about Asians. They can take a TV and put it on your wrist.
Wow.
They're good with technology.
I love it when you quote Reggie White.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak with Don and Mike, please?
Yes, you're on the air.
Don, in 1965, Kentucky lost in the championship to Texas Western, who had an all-black lineup.
What's wrong with the way you speak?
What's wrong with you, sir?
I just thought I'd pass on that information to you. They had an all-white squad, and Texas Western had an all-black squad, and they lost in the championship game.
You know, you're kind of talking like that. You know, like if you get a hit here in your chest or something, you...
If the wind knocked out.
Hello?
You know, I meant to ask him if Adolph Rupp was the coach when that happened.
Adolph.
Because that would have really ticked him off.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. How y'all doing?
Hey, great, my friend.
Well, that's good. I trust y'all had a wonderful vacation.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure we'll hear all about it.
I got a couple of things to tell you about. I didn't really have an exciting vacation. Not lots of great stories.
I was calling to see when your next Las Vegas-style show is going to be.
I think we have one on April 17th, and then we've got one on May 5th, and we got another one on May 17th.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Jimmy Dean.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Body.
Radio Gods.
Hello.
Four words. Ashley Judd, Bueno Arbusto.
Oh, that's the one thing about the Academy Awards that I am ready to discuss.
Okay.
If perhaps you didn't see the jug, Ashley Jug, the singing jug, or rather the acting jug.
No, I did not see her. Was she hanging out of her dress?
No. She had, how do I describe this? She had a cut. She had a pantsuit on, like a satiny pantsuit.
Right.
And a cut that came all the way up to her crotch area. And as she
loves to sell it.
As she walked on stage... You could see, because her strides were so wide, you could see her curliest of hairs.
Could you really?
At least that's what I thought I could see.
Wow.
Did you think the same thing?
That?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? She didn't have underpants on.
No, not at all. I couldn't get to the VCR fast enough.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was the one good moment from the Oscars.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Adolph?
It's Adolph Rupp from the grave. Is it Rupp or Rupp?
Rupp. R-U-P-P.
Rupp.
Don and Mike Show.
Yes, old Adolph lost that game up here at Dennis Murphy's home gym, Cole Fieldhouse.
Oh, you mean the all-black team? They beat the all-white team?
Yes. The team is now the University of Texas, El Paso. It used to be Western Texas.
After that game, did Adolph decide that he might want to get black guys on his team?
Well... evidently, because he started recruiting them not too long after. But back in 1950...
I'd say, what nice young colored boy wouldn't want to go play for Adolph Rupp to be the first colored to play for Adolph Rupp?
Back in 1950...
Hey, boy, I not had me any like you on my team, but I got beat by a team last week.
Now, it's against my better judgment, but I'm going to let you play for Kentucky, and I'll tell you why. Because we got our asses handed to each other last week, and you can come and play. But listen, you can come and play with us, But that's all you're going to do. You understand me? There, my name's not Adolph Rush.
Adolph.
Back in 1951, Adolph. He came up to New York and played the championship game of the NIT.
All right. This is too much there, my friend.
Thank you.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I have something interesting you might want to talk about.
What?
I collect serial killer trading cards.
Okay. All right. That's a future show. Yeah. Welcome home. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, I was just wondering, you watched the woman's NCA. Did you see Rebecca Lobo?
I'd love to get a new Charles Manson card.
Well, she looks...
I'm still talking about about the guy with the trading cards, with
sure,
the mass murderer trading cards.
I think I thought they were outlawed, but they're on the net. I think you can get them. What a surprise.
Sure.
You can get them on the internet.
I'll give you two Ted Bundys for a Charlie Manson.
You're not getting my Jeffrey Dahmer.
No, Rebecca Lobo was Tony Robbins in drag. Check it out. Watch.
You're absolutely right. She got a mouth like a horse on her, that Rebecca Lobo.
I like that last name, too, Lobo.
Hello, yeah. Donna Mike Show.
Hey, you guys.
Hey.
Thought I'd let you know that story on Rupp is such a crock.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. That is not the case. In fact, he had black players as a high school coach back in the 20s.
Oh, really? So are you calling from Kentucky?
No, I'm here in Fairfax.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, what do you know about this guy?
Well, I'm a big Kentucky fan, so I can give you a brief history.
Did he have... Hold on. I don't want a brief history. I just want to... Did he have all-white teams from the 60s?
He had all-white team in the 60s, but as well as Duke did. But they just happened to advance to the final game, where they did take on Texas Western, and they did lose that game.
Then where am I hearing all these stories about Adolph Rupp?
Adolph Rupp was actually...
Adolph.
He coaches in SEC, where that's Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and a lot of the traditional southern states.
Listen, you're boring me with that sports talk. You got to come to the facts.
Just the facts, man.
You got to cut to the chase. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, did you guys see Minnie Driver on the in the Oscars?
Yeah, red dress.
Now she looked hot. She looked great.
Yeah. Perfect six or what?
Mini Driver on that night?
Yeah.
She was a seven.
Yeah, she raised her standards quite a bit.
Did you see her in Gross Point Blank with John Cusack?
Yeah, that movie's awful.
You didn't like it, huh?
God, that movie's awful. Is she the disc jockey in that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that movie sucks.
You didn't think she was pretty hot in it, though, huh?
I'm not saying she's not hot. I'm saying that movie, Gross Point Blank, very disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was pretty good.
All right, well, what do you know? Hello.
Thank you for joining in that spirited debate.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you doing?
What?
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Yeah. Hey, I saw that Jet Athlete Jug girl. She had some nice arbusto. I tell you what.
All right. Thanks, Cleet. Hello. Don and Mike here.
Okay. That was actually Judd calling right there.
All right, we got to do a quick break. No, that was the... Which one is the big sloppy one?
Winona.
Winona.
I know my jugs.
Oh, Winona.
You got your Ashley the actress, you got Winona, and then you got the mom, Naomi.
Right. Yeah. Name that Judd, Mike. Which Judd was that?
That was Winona again.
All right, here's another one.
Winona.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you one more. Here you go. Who's that?
That was Naomi.
Boy, you're good.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Father. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
The Don and Mike Show.
I can't remember being surrounded by so much happiness. I'm so happy. I can't wait to come back tomorrow.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
You asked for it. Tried to tell you, Jack Mudrian will piss you off. But you don't listen to me, do you? Okay.
Chicago, that darling, down.
All right. I just want to read the introduction. Jack Mondrain loves to sing. It's as simple as that. Ask him to sing, and sing he will.
All right.
Claiming a repertoire of almost as many songs as Sinatra, he was recently challenged to sing for 45 minutes continuously at the Duplex Nursing Home in Boston.
Very good.
It's now been released as a CD.
Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you right, I'll show you right. Oh, I love it, I'll bet you. I'm down here, oh, in Chicago, oh, Chicago. Oh, Chicago, my home, Chicago, my hometown. What's the street, that great street? I just want to say, oh, they don't do things like you don't do it on Broadway. Oh, hey, well, that's that time of life. Anyway, oh, Chicago, my hometown. Oh, kiss me once. Once it kissed me, twice it kissed me, once again.
This is only the second song.
Oh, God. Lord, I haven't felt like this. My Jesus, can't remember when.
And Christine, when people start calling, begging to turn this off, put them right through.
Not just how empty they all seem, but I used to kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. Oh, long, long time. Oh, why am I always yearning? But Teresa, oh, I never saw him. I'm going to get married again.
What?
Oh, why am I always...
This is a song called Why Am I Always Yearning for Teresa.
For Teresa.
Our next selection, Mike, will be The Halls of Montezuma.
All good, patriotic.
Little kids from Mary Jane will make my life complete. Oh, why am I always yearning for Teresa? Oh, Teresa, Teresa, my love. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
Yeah, sing it.
Oh, we will fight our country.
You're laughing now. We are 1/45th of the way through this.
I stopped laughing as hard as I was before.
And to keep our honor clean.
Crank it.
We are proud to claim the title of United States Marines. Over here, over there.
Hey, medley.
We have hit the dust to share that those gates are growing.
Jack
Mudrian.
From the Duplex Nursing Home. Hard to believe a man this vital is in a nursing home.
Hope he hits all these service branches.
Wherever we go, oh, we will always go.
Anchors Away is one of my favorites.
So long, been good to know you.
I'll think it again. All the places that I've been to, the places that I get to go to.
What's this one? Get a little muddled. Really?
This is So Long, It's Been Good to Know You.
I've been good to know you so long time since I've been home. They just gotta be drifting along. Oh, step right up and help Uncle Sam. Oh, he's been good to
This is Step Right Up and Help Uncle Sam.
Oh, that's all room to help. Here is the new world liberty. From the North Pole to the South Pole in the Western Hemisphere. Oh, step right up and help Uncle Sam. Oh, he's been good to you and me. Let's hear him. Wait a minute. From It's Only a Paper Moon.
It's Only a Paper Moon.
Oh, good one.
Song number 7 of 129 songs in a row.
Was a honky-tonk parade. Oh, love, love, love. Was the melody played at a penny arcade for the bomb and baby was.
Hey, I think he's getting better as it goes on.
Baby, 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 baby.
Nickelodeon.
Oh, don't sing along.
Please.
Music, music, music. Closer, my dear, come closer. La 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 la. La, la. La when you come close to me, take me out to the ball game.
There we go.
Take me out to the back, or buy me some pizza.
You got the words wrong.
Oh, yeah, you did. He's a technician. He's using artistic license.
They don't win, or the one, or two, or she takes your run at the old ball game. Some Sunday morning goes to go.
When I tell you folks about this guy, right? Charming concept. The first couple of times you heard him sing Chicago, that toddle in town.
Think of the individual right now that's probably just come down to their car and hopped into their car after a real tough day. Perhaps spent the last hour in their boss's office getting lambasted. And they hop in and they're looking for a nice entertaining segment.
From this valley they say you are leaving. we will miss your bright eyes and sweet smiles.
What's that
sound?
Mike, it says on the back label, birds can be heard singing in the trees. It's a clear June afternoon and the weather is perfect when Jack Mudran accepted the challenge to sing for 45 minutes straight.
And
excellent.
That boy that has loved you so true, my bunny lies over the ocean. My bunny lies over the sea. My bunny lies over the ocean.
Oh, God.
Oh, bring back my bunny to me.
He's a genius.
Oh,
I would pull the plug on this old man in a nursing home. I'd put a pillow over his face in the middle of the night. Oh. I don't know what happened. Code blue.
My bunny has tuberculosis.
Yeah, some good news and bad news. Well, there's no bad news. The good news is Jack Mudrian's dead.
Oh, bring back my bunny to me. Oh, bring back my bunny to me. That pony run, he jumpy, pitchy jump, oh, my face in the ditch. The pony being rather shy when bitten by the blue tail.
I like the look on your face.
I don't care, oh, you crack corn and I don't care. Oh, you crack corn and I don't care.
Now. Where are all the people that have been calling for the last couple of days saying, when are you going to play that tape of that guy?
From the great Atlantic
Ocean. Hello, Don on Mike Show.
Yeah, that dude needs an enema. Murphy sounds like the Queen of Sheba compared to this dude.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
To Daddy Jackson, his name forever said, and always be remembered in the courts of Alabama.
Yeah.
The nation's over, the curtain round and fire. We'll carry him home to victory on the back cannonball. I wonder who's kissing her now.
This makes you wish that we had a policy in this country when someone's 70.
Oh, hey!
You give them some kind of a shot, we tell them they're going to take a nap.
Oh, God.
La, 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 la,
right?
I wonder who's kissing her now. Oh, Ramona, oh, how I love to hear the vision bells.
This song Ramona, Mike.
Ramona.
Ramona.
La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la,
la,
That's
very good.
Brian Wilson's father.
My drunk from red to rosy red.
Brian Wilson is he is today.
We've isolated Brian Wilson's microphone during a Beach Boys concert, and this is what it sounds like.
Let me see, wait a minute.
Hold on, there's a break.
Oh, I don't care if it's a dog train, because I get my double in the evening time. Oh, when I'm with my baby. I don't care if it's a dog train, because I get my double in the evening.
This has been released as a CD. Yeah, like, people have bought this CD.
And then we get that, and then we get
straight in the car for long trips.
How many times we get a time like this, so we can go.
Hello, Don on Mike Show.
Don.
Buddy.
Turn that guy off. He's making my butt bleed.
Where's my baby?
Right, what did I tell you, folks? Baby. What did I tell you?
Yeah. I don't be big.
He grows on you like a fungus.
And I'm 21. Why don't my baby? My baby don't be. Well, I'll see.
I'm just waiting until we get a Beach Boys CD in here, and then I'm going to mix him in with the Beach Boys.
You know, occasionally in those nursing homes, you do get one or two individuals that have at least their buttons, you know, and they can still... And I hope that the people that live next door to him, I hope that's not the case. Yeah. I hope they're really completely and totally out of it, because otherwise, I wonder how often he does this in the hallway of the nursing home.
Let me see.
Siren.
Oh, I don't know why I love you like I do. Oh, I don't know why, but I do. Oh, I don't know why I love you like I do. I
Hello there, Don on Mike Show.
Don on Mike.
Welcome to the day when we torture our audience. Hello. Thank you, Rob.
That's somebody giving a lovely Bronx cheer, I believe.
There's only one place for me, D.U.
The Beach Boys recently got back into the studio and decided to re-record some of their greatest hits.
Brian Wilson was there for the session.
Together for the first time.
Let me go up to Eddie Boy. See if I can get some more. Let me see. I've been working on the barrel of the day. I've been working on the barrel just to pass that time away. We're going to hear the whistle blow
and rise up to early in the
morning. We're going to hear the whistle blow. Oh, Diane, won't blow your horn. Oh, Diane, won't
you blow your horn.
Oh, Diane, won't you blow your horn. Oh, Diane, won't you blow your horn. Oh, Diane, won't you blow your horn.
The studio sessions. We brought Brian Wilson back in with his own microphone.
Oh, time to run your banjo. B-5-3-D-I-O. 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 Time to run your banjo.
Well, she got her name started.
La 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 la.
We've isolated Brian Wilson's microphone.
Howdy all day, home, home on the way. See you in the end of the play. We'll tell them it's there. It's got a G word in the sky. They're up howdy all day. Wait a minute, you just did another way. Talking about Jericho, Jericho, talking about love, Jericho, and the wall they come down.
While the rest of the Beach Boys were maintaining their fabulous harmonies,
Brian was free-forming.
Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. La 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 la. Or your summer kids are out.
For the first time ever, the Beach Boys are back.
Ragtime cowboy, ragtime cowboy. We talk about the ragtime cowboy. That's all. That's all. I don't. Maybe see if I can think of that. Wait a minute.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Oh, hold on, there's some dialogue.
What?
Here.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Somewhere over the rainbow. La la la. La 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 la. Once in a lullaby. La 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 la. Any more?
Oh, lots more.
Let me see if I can do another one.
He's doing well. Mike Love, Al Jardine, and Brian Wilson.
But would you wish upon a star your dream, baby?
Oh, my
God.
Wow.
Here in a cabaret, and it was a heaven fight. And one night, the lady in bed, oh, they'd have to go down. Oh, they'd have to go down. They'd have to go down. Or put your back on mama, or they'd have to go down. Three more.
Oh, God.
Right here, Johnny was sweetheart. For what a couple of them. For it's going to be true to each other.
Oh.
It's true to the stars.
Right, one more. Let me do it with one more song.
But she done him wrong.
What?
Three more.
Rock around the clock.
Round, get around, I get around.
A very special Beach Boys recording. All proceeds go to Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
For the civic goal, for loving all the way, for thousands of children, for making spirits.
All right, hold on. Here's a lady who works at a nursing home, okay?
Right.
Hello, Angie.
Hi.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't think it's really nice of you guys to exploit people that live in nursing homes like you are.
How are we exploiting them? We were sent this CD as a promotional venture.
And you're making fun of them.
Well, how can you not make fun of this? This person could be 12 years old, and we'd still be laughing. It has nothing to do with the fact that he lives in a nursing home.
Come on, Nurse Ratchet. You're listening to the wrong show.
Well, I don't like your show anyway. I just have to listen to it.
You just happen to listen
right.
To
you
it.
Have to listen to it, right?
I do.
Right, you bitch. I hope when I go in an old age home, I don't get some woman like you.
That's right. Actually, the guys in the nursing home like me because I'm fun. I got called perky one night.
Yeah, I doubt that.
Ooh.
Bye-bye. I'd hate to have you change my bed, parent. I'll tell you that.
You're not perky, and there's nothing on you that's perky, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think you guys need to get a real woman and a real education and a real job.
F you, you stupid bitch.
Back at you twice.
Oh, good. Eat me raw with a flavor straw.
I would if there was something to eat.
Yeah, I got more than you could ever eat, you bitch.
You would.
Eat my meat.
You would.
Yeah, you're a nice nurse. F you.
Yeah.
Right.
Good comeback.
That's the education level there, you know?
No, I think we're getting the education level right here from you.
Yeah.
Obviously, it doesn't take too much education to change some old guy's bedpan.
Well, it does take a lot of education.
Sure, yeah, you got to scoop up the poop and then put it in the bedpan, then clean out the bedpan.
Therefore.
You know, you're interrupting this old fellow while we're listening to him on our radio show.
Hey, you know, with all of your bitching, you're not even understanding what we're doing. We're going to give out this guy's number so he can sell this CD.
Whatever.
How do you think we got this, Nurse Ratchet? How do you think we came across this tape?
And does it ever occur to you that somebody coming in and recording this guy and letting him sing was probably the high point of his year?
I really doubt it.
Oh, come off it. Then you don't understand old people.
I think I understand old people a lot better than you.
No, clinically you probably do. You probably understand clinically what's going on, but you don't understand what it means for an old guy to get on a CD, to have a record made of his singing, which is probably the biggest thrill of his life.
No.
Good comeback once again.
No. All right. Well, tell me again the reasons why you're forced to listen to our show.
Because my friends think you guys are so great, and every time.
Right. So what are you saying now? Are you saying that all of your friends are idiots?
Well, in that respect, yes. No offense.
You're a nice lady. I wish I had you for a friend. Yeah. You stupid bitch.
God. Get a life.
I have one.
Go put your finger up some old guy somewhere else.
Some crazy somewhere else.
I'm going to get back to this great bit we're doing right now.
Great.
Go away.
Great.
Go away.
Why? I'm still forced to listen to the show.
Go away. Right.
That's a pretty weak comeback. Can't you leave the room?
I am leaving the room. I did leave the room.
Good. Leave. Die. Leave all the way. Leave the planet.
Yeah, go out into traffic.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Good comeback.
God.
Whatever.
You're not qualified to listen to our show.
Hey,
but, however, you are qualified to clean up some old man's vomit and bowel movements.
Would you guys like to talk to them? They like your show.
Yeah, let me talk to them about what a bitch you are.
Okay, he wants to talk to you about what a bitch I am.
All right.
All right, here we go.
I said yes to your proposal. Be nice.
How you doing, Donna Mike?
How can you possibly stand to be around this bitch?
Oh, she's nice most of the time.
She's got a real problem, man. She's got a real problem. And she's a downer on our show, and she doesn't understand anything about old people.
Every time I try to listen to you guys, she's like, do we have to listen? But I'm like, yes, we have to.
She's a bitch. Hey, tell me, is she ugly? She must be extremely ugly, right?
She's very beautiful.
No, she's ugly.
No, seriously.
She's ugly. You wouldn't do her, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't do her.
Man?
Tell her she's a stupid bitch. Come on.
No.
Tell her right now.
No, man, because I got to live with her.
Oh, you live with her?
Yeah.
How do you live with her? You're like her husband?
Fiance.
You're a fiance?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, there's time to get out of there, man.
Run. My God, you poor man.
All right, goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I hope you get divorced.
About a dream. She's probably one of those people you see on those hidden cameras in the nursing homes, stuffing the $5 bills into her apron as she walks by when the old person's sleeping.
You know, I don't get that when someone calls a show. They go, oh, I'm forced to listen to this.
Right. Yeah, right. Sure you are.
And I mean, I stand by the point that the guy probably really dug it, and he probably would be thrilled that we're comparing him to the very talented Brian Wilson.
Ladies
and gentlemen, the Beach Boys!
Okay. All right, well,
we've only heard 52 of the 129 songs.
I didn't think I'd tire of it, but I have.
Available on this CD.
That's great.
And to get the CD, duplex mail order.
Okay.
Okay, P.O. Box 1230, Saratoga Springs, New York, 12866.
And what was the old guy's name again? We have to give credit where credit is due.
Jack Mudrian.
Jack Mudrian, the...
Or it could be Madurian. Now, this is one more. And we'll only be able to do it for a second, okay?
All right.
Because then it will be cruel. He's got a team up capping in here.
Mm-hmm. Blue moon.
I don't know. Blue skies. All day long, nothing but blue skies. Do I see? La 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 blue skies. All day long, nothing but blue skies.
All right, there you go.
Point made.
Okay. There you go, everybody. The song Stylings of Jack Madurian.
Man, way to go, Jack Madurian. Fantastic.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show. On 11, Don and Mike Show on 11. Don and Mike Show on 11. On off 3. Where is Jaka? Tormay do. Where is Lafa? Where is Don? Here I am. Where is Ron? Oh, my dude. Where is Mike? Here I am. Where is Don? Where is Mike? Here we are, the Don and Mike Show. Where is Lisa? Where is Jeff? Here we are. Producers of the Don and Mike Show. Here we are. Where is Buzz? Here I am. Where is Charlie? Charlie Boyle. Where is Robbie? Here I am. Don't make me live. The Don and Mike Show. On WJFK, 106.7, 11-3.
The Don and Mike Show. They're the cheese in the devil's mousetrap. Don and Mike.
Hello, la la la. Hey, folks, it's Rob Spiewak here. Listen, I just wanted to remind you
because I like you. But you got to listen to the best of Don and Mike while Don and Mike
yep.
are away. Because when they come back, they're going to be asking a trivia question that can win you $1,000. But here's the catch. The answer to the trivia question is buried somewhere in the best of.
Ooh.
Yep. So make sure you listen to the best of Don and Mike.
Yep. Let's get to the good stuff.
It's time for Don and Mike to play.
Low budget Jeff Hardy.
All right. How are you? Hello, Don. Hello, Rob. Back here. Here we are. Okay.
Everyone, ladies and gentlemen.
Settle down.
From the land of the three-name people
right here.
How you doing, Pizza Face?
Pizza Face. Now, you can call me that. I understand it's a comedy show. I know the way you work. I understand the way you work, Don. I understand the way you operate. And you can call me, Pizza Face, talk about my bad skin, but it doesn't bother me.
Tommy Lee Jones, you
it doesn't
got...
bother me.
You got the Vish skin.
I do have the Vish skin, but the Vish skin has not held up my career. My career is still overwhelmingly successful, and I'd like to point out the fact that I am appearing. Let me get the plug out of the way. Small Soldiers, the animated feature film that is open now at theaters everywhere. Please do go. You and your entire family, go see the film. See the film there. Enjoy the film. I think you, Don, would like this. I think you've already seen it. They informed me.
Saw it. Not too great.
And... pardon me?
Not too great.
All right, we'll move right by that. I don't have to worry about that.
Mr. Jones.
Is that the what?
Is this the first time you've played a doll in a movie?
Of course it is. What do you think I do? Do you think I go out every day and I'm trying to play dolls? Do you think that's what I do in the privacy of my own home? Do you think I play with figurines like that little skirt-wearing guy that you had on before, that theater manager with the Fiji fruits on his shoes?
Charlie,
do you think that's what I do, walking...
You noticed the juju fruits on his shoes.
I noticed that when I was walking in here. He was sitting at a table, had his legs crossed, and over his right leg was over his left knee. And then I looked down and I saw 14 or 15 juju fruits stuck to the bottom of his shoe. I walked up and said, "Hi, my name's CLJ, Tommy Lee Jones. Good to see you." He said, "My name is Charles Stossel." I said, "That's a wimpy name, and you have juju fruits all over the bottom of your shoes. Put them away, son. Please, get those out of my face. I don't want to look at those. Those are making me disgusted."
You just referred to yourself as TLJ.
TLJ, Tommy Lee Jones, absolutely. Absolutely. TLJ to you. If I call you and I've got a problem with you, or if there's something I want to discuss with you, or even if you're a friend of mine,
yeah.
I will leave you a message. And in the end, I will not say, let me make this clear, I will not say who I am. I will simply say, this message has been delivered by TLJ. Okay? Have we made that clear? Very good. Yes, it is my first feature film, Toy Soldiers. Commandos are cartoon characters, little
small
toys.
Soldiers.
Small soldiers.
Small
yes,
soldiers.
That's tall, small, what does it matter? The movie's going to gross a lot of money, and that's all I care about. That's the bottom line, Hollywood looks at that, and I'm a realist. I understand reality. I do. I surely do.
Would you be...
would I be what?
The movie star with the worst acne in Hollywood?
No.
Do you have the worst skin of any major star, do you think?
It depends on the major stars. I'll be honest with you right now, Don. I'll say there are lots of major stars that have problems, and they're in various different fields. They're in baseball, they're in football, all sorts of
fields.
David Johnson also is the clear leader, I think so. And I think if you look beyond the pancake makeup, here's the deal. You want me to tell it to you? I'll give it to you straight.
Yes, TLJ.
Here's the deal. I've got bad skin. When I was a child, I had a very bad acne problem. I have my neck and face covered with hideous acne pimples. But I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
I made a decision early on in my Hollywood career. No one's going to smear that pancake putty over me to fill in the cracks. You know what I mean?
Did you put a hard target search out on your pimples?
I want a hard target search of every acne pimple that's located on TLJ's face. I want the forehead. I want the cheeks. I want the back of the neck, the forward part of the neck, around the Adam's apple, and under the ear where oil deposits will gather to cause nasty acne. I'd like everyone to know right now that I have severe skin disorders, but they are in my past. Now I've been left with a series of hideous pockmarks that are located all over my face, but I'm not going to let that bother me or deter me from delivering a fine performance. Do I make myself clear to you?
Now, here's another question.
Yes, go ahead, Don.
What happens if TLJ gets TMJ?
TLJ gets TMJ, it'd be a very difficult situation. I'll take you through that call. If you'd like me to do that, I could do that right now. Hello, doctor, this is TLJ. I'm suffering from TMJ. TMJ causing my jaw to lock in one firm place, unable to eat food, unable to enjoy good conversation. TLJ is suffering serious TMJ. Can you help me? Over and out. I want a hard target search of my TMJ to find out if TLJ's TMJ can possibly be corrected. Is that possible? Can we do that for you?
Hold on. Let's say you're going to Chicago.
Yes.
And
small soldiers. They told me to do that at the studio.
Let's say you're going out to Chicago and you're going to go out with Michael Jordan and you're going to go look for some action.
Yes.
Then would it be TLJ who had TMJ going out with MJ to get a BJ?
Absolutely. We'd be going out there. Hi, MJ, this is TLJ. We'd like to go out and get a BJ in Chicago if that's possible. We're going to meet that fantastic comic, Jimmy Walker, JJ. That's JJ and MJ and TLJ going to go out for a BJ. You got a problem with that? I certainly don't. No problem at all. We're going to have a great time, MJ. Fantastic.
And
where's JJ?
What if you guys were all eating peanut butter and jelly?
You know something?
PB&J.
We wouldn't be eating a PB&J, but if we did, MJ, JJ, TLJ would all go out for a bottle of Don Geronimo's AJ. It's the most fantastic juice. That's right, his ass juice that was marketed a few years ago. It's a delicious product. No better way to wash down your PB&J than with a nice, big, tall glass of Don Geronimo's AJ. Isn't that right, MJ and JJ? Yes, it is, TLJ. I have TMJ. Thank you. Thank you very much. I now am suffering from a cranial problem. My brain is starting to swell. Do you understand it? I want a hard target search of where this brain is starting
to swell.
One
last thing.
Fire
away. Let's say you're out with all those guys.
Yes.
And you're doing all that stuff.
You like my movies?
Except for the one where you play the doll. Yeah, you're great.
You like Men in Black?
I love it.
You like my own Batman when I play Two-Face?
You were okay in that.
Okay.
You were okay at that.
I delivered an incredible performance. Now, you can't stack up Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, and all those other
villains.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey is the man in Batman.
I'll tell you something. That boy's not right. That boy is not right. He has a serious mental disorder, and I do not. Now, they have said that I have bad attitudes on movie sets. That is not true. I go there to work. I am not there to make small talk and little chatter and say, what Hollywood party are you going to? Simply give me the lines. I'll memorize them. I'll deliver a great performance for you. That's all I have to do. Unless, of course, I have TMJ, as you mentioned before. You were asking a question. Let me just remind everyone, my voice is featured in Small Soldiers. Commandos take over a neighborhood and terrorize the neighborhood. Little toys running around. It's very cute. Very good. Fantastic performances delivered by me and many others. Would you like a summary of the plot? Here we go.
Oh, you got it,
Commando
man?
Toys with attitude end up in and around the homes of suburban squabblers where they wage a war against their toy store enemies. It's great. Please go see it. Help my body. Bottom line, I'd appreciate that, please. I'm done.
But, you know, you got this attitude.
I do.
The TLJ attitude.
Now, let me tell you something. When you're TLJ and you have this problem, it was necessary for me to establish myself as number one, an intellectual, number two, an actor, number three, the kind of guy people want to hang around, even though I don't want to hang around anybody because of the fact that I had these hideous acne pimples and I was searching for them forever. I tried all of them, Oxy-5, acne statin, everything was made available to me, and I wasn't able to successfully cure that. Therefore, I have what I have today, but it has not hindered my Hollywood career.
All right, now, when you're out with your Hollywood friends.
Yes, please.
Do you act the same way that you're acting now? You know, the kind of condescending, the way you're talking down to me and everybody?
If I could lay a cliche on you, which I'm sure you would like to hear, the cliche for Tommy Lee would be the fact that what you see is what you get. This is who I am. This is what I am. This is all I can be. This is what I bring to the screen. This is what I bring to your studio. This is what I bring to everything I do. And I do have this attitude, and I'm sorry. If you don't like it, well, you have a choice of films to go see and radio stations to listen to. Do you not agree?
Okay, final question.
Final question. I can handle a final question. Sure.
If you're out with TMJ.
TMJ, yes.
And you're eating PB&J.
I'm going to write this down. TMJ, PB&J. You know something? My brain has only certain capacity.
With JJ Walker.
Yes.
And you're looking for a BJ.
Yes.
Would you pick up OJ?
Yes.
And then would you, OJ Simpson, of course, and then would you go pick up Elton John, EJ?
EJ. All right, let me see if I've got this straight. TMJ, that's me. Tommy Lee Jones picks up MJ for a BJ. They meet JJ. I'm going to start again. I'm losing my head of steam here. Here we go. I'm TMJ, Tommy Lee Jones. MJ, this is TMJ. Can you get JJ? Because we're going to go out for a BJ. I heard a rumor that OJ was in the neighborhood, so we're going to have to duck because EJ Elton John is doing a concert in town. Does that make sense to you? I have TMJ.
Beautiful, Tommy Lee Jones.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bows all around.
How many of you guys went to see the Toronto Blue Jays?
Blue Jays, all right. Hi, TMJ calling MJ. We're going to go out for a BJ with JJ. If we don't run into OJ, we'll see a concert with EJ. And then later on, we're going to go see the Blue Jays. How's that?
Yeah.
Very good. We're going to have a great time. That's a little brain teaser. Thank you.
All right. Now we're going to play low-budget Jeopardy.
LBJ.
Yes.
LBJ. That's great.
Put that on your list.
Absolutely. TMJ, I'd like to call MJ and tell BJ we're going out with JJ. If we don't run into OJ, we'll go say EJ in concert and then play LBJ. Thank you.
It's our target search for the first two callers right now.
And my pockmark.
At 1-800-636-1067. We'll play Jeopardy next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to the program.
Macho man. I wanna be a macho man. Will you teach me how
to smoke a cigar, Dave?
I have the feeling you probably have the hang of it, Richard.
Coming out here.
I just mean that a kid from New Orleans probably knows
I actually never really smoked. I mean, I love food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there was a spaghetti stain on your tie, I'd suck it off. No, I mean that. I love food. I never got into, like, cigars or any of that stuff.
Man, I'm dropping weight just thinking about that.
Artie, what's going to happen to me? Too sad to even think about.
Oh, God.
Regis Philbin. Come on, Artie. Regis Philbin, he came back.
Son, what do you want to do? You want to sit there while Cat Lee prattles on in your good ear about how Frank hates the James Cody poopy diapers?
Tra-la-la, la-la-la, Little Debbie, the Don and Mike Show.
Well, as of right now, we're going to play LBJ with TLJ. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I'd just like to say that. I know that it might be confused throughout all the gobbledygook with all your TV and your lady getting married and all that, but I'll be honest with you. I enjoy coming here and doing the show, even though I don't look like I'm happy.
Well, you look constipated is what you look like.
Well, I do, and how do you know that's not true? I've actually had a real problem with being bound up, I have. But that's another story for another show. I could tell you stories, though. I'll tell you right now, there are times when I will be on a three-week shoot for an entire movie, and I won't be able to move my bowels, not once successfully.
So TLJ is not able to take an NBM.
No, I can't do that. Sometimes it's extraordinarily difficult for TLJ to have one decent NBM. Major BM, of course, we're talking about, right? We're on the same page. Major bowel movement.
Oh, I said NBM,
nice BM. Well, there's a major BM and a nice BM. I'd like an NBM, but right now I'm searching for an NBM, a big one.
All right, let's play a little budget Jeopardy. Tommy Lee Jones, thank you. Who are our contestants?
This is Low Budget Jeopardy, ladies and gentlemen. Pull up your chairs, turn up your radios, and pay close attention. We're going to introduce the contestants right now. First of all, let's show some respect for this individual, people. This is a police officer. He is from Leesburg. Let's say hi to George Harvey.
Hey, George.
Howdy.
Hey, are you in your police car right now?
No.
That's too bad. We love the sirens.
Well, I just want to say a salute from me to you and all the men in blue. Now entering the studio... For those who serve, absolutely. I'm big into that. And now entering the studio is a returning champion. This individual is a technical recruiter from Rockville, Maryland. Let's say hi to the champion with $39, Phil Druin.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, LQ. How are you?
Hey, Phil, being our returning low-budget Jeopardy champion, how has it changed your life?
Well, now I can afford to have Danny the Wonder Pony at my next party.
Oh, that boy's a pervert. I know that.
Did you hear about Danny the Wonder Pony?
Did I hear about him? I've had him ride me. Absolutely. Taught him everything he knew. Showed him how to put on the saddle with the glow-in-the-dark thing on the mouth.
You know, a friend of mine had Danny the Wonder Pony come to his party, and he said he had candy in his pocket, and when my friend put his hand in the pocket, you know what he found?
What did he find?
Skin.
Skinny touch skin?
Skin.
Well, Danny the Wonder Pony's got some serious dilemmas that he's got to work out with a therapist, but that's neither here nor there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Cat's Meow, the Tower of Pisa, the tall guy. The guy's going to walk in here with his beard. He is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Now listen, Phil and George,
don't screw with LQ.
Please say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo. Do it now, please.
Thank you. Now, anybody ever call you Tom?
Anybody calls me Tom, I'll be in the trunk of my car driving very fast down a major interstate waiting to have their body dumped into a swamp. All right? Do I make myself clear?
Thank you, Tom.
Tom Jones. Come on now. I know that joke.
And
for God's sake.
Here are your categories, Phil and George. Oh, and I almost forgot to say, I always answer in the form of a question.
Yes, do that
I
or die.
Live with my mom wearing a clip-on tie suit by Mr. Guy.
Fine.
Always call me Alex as we're playing the game. Then it's LQ, Lord Quizmaster, and he's, you know, don't call him Tom.
TLJ, Tommy Lee, squeeze you in.
And here's your category, guys. And they are. Categories are Name That Al.
Al, okay. Very mundane category, but something we can all enjoy at home.
All About Susan.
Susan, very good. Is that our lady that's getting married?
Yep, the bride-to-be.
Plenty of exposure for that lady. I hope she finds a nice man.
Moron Math.
Moron Math. Well, we found the right place for that, but I'd like to point out, I went to Harvard. Thank you. Over and out.
Yeah, that's a goof, isn't it?
Yeah, I went to Harvard. Hard to believe. Isn't it? CLJ went to
to Harvard?
I can't find a J there.
Go ahead, please.
I bet you could find a J at Harvard. Sing me a Led Zeppelin song.
That's good. I like Led Zeppelin. I like to rock. I'm a bit of a hat banger.
And finally, guess the celebrity bra size.
Celebrity bra sizes. Brassieres, boobs, body parts. You're all into that, and I am to you.
All right, give them to you one more time, guys. They are.
Very good.
Name that Al.
Al.
All About Susan.
Susan, yes, the lady getting married.
Moron Math.
Moron Math.
Sing me a Zeppelin song.
Zeppelin, very good.
Guess the celebrity bra size. And George, you're the challenger. We'll start with you, Bobby.
Let's go with Name That Al for $1.
All right. More Americans know who Mr. Clean is than this boring politician.
Who is Al Gore?
Yeah. Way to go, George. You're on the board, and I'd say for all the men in blue, we're very happy for you. Select again, please.
Let's go for Name That Al for $2.
Announcer for Monday Night Football.
Who is Al...
Sorry, George. Phil, here's your chance to steal. That's a softball we threw up to the officer, but he didn't get it. Your chance, Phil.
Who is Al Michaels?
Yeah, Al Michaels. Of course, Al Michaels. We all knew that. All right, except for George. All right, Phil, you're in control. Select again, please.
Let's close out. Name that out for three.
Former star and unsung hero of Happy Days. Oh, P.S., he might be dead.
Who is Al Morinato?
Do we give it to him, judges?
Nah, the judges cannot accept that.
We cannot give that to you.
Sorry about that, Phil. George, here's a big softball for you again. Do you know the answer?
Who is Al Molinaro?
Yes, we'll give it to him. Al Molinaro. Remember, we tried to call Al Molinaro on his birthday recently.
Fine man, fine man. Great man.
The phone just rang and rang and rang.
Well, he's not got much to do. Probably just sitting there, just lying there in a sweaty T-shirt, taking calls every now and then. Finally got tired of that, too, looking out the window, you know, just letting that phone ring all day. Poor Al Molinaro. Poor Arnold. Poor Happy Days. George, you're in control.
Let me have Moron Math for $1.
All right, here you go. And please say it the right way. It's Moron Math.
Moron Math.
Moron Math.
Moron Math. We all know.
Oh, where's my tape? Hold on. Oh, it's a great tape.
Moron. Are you some kind of moron?
Moron. Yeah, we all know you are. I don't know who that actor is, but if I saw him, I'd punch him.
15 times 3.
What is 45?
45, yes.
$1 for you. Way to go, George. Good, good, good. Your math skills are up to par. Select again, please.
Let me have Moron Maya for $2.
20 times 20.
20 times 20. That'll be 400. What?
Not in the form of a question.
See, we all get stumbled by those tricky math questions. Phil, it's your chance to steal.
What is 400?
400, yes.
$2. Close game horse race. Back and forth. Phil, select again, please.
Let's close out Moron Math for 3, please.
12 times 5.
12 times 5.
Now, don't repeat the question with the question.
George, it's your chance to steal. Yeah, that's a big rule, Phil. We have rules around here. That's the way the thing works. Okay, go ahead, George.
What is 60?
60, yes. Correct, Amundu.
$3, significant move on the board for you, George. Select again, please.
Can I have All About Susan for $1?
All right, I hope you guys have been listening all this week when we've had Susan. You know, she's getting married on the show 1 week from today.
God love her in her desperation. That's okay. I think that's terrific. She's doing a good thing. She couldn't find any belts in the bar, so I think that's good. Way to go, Susan, from TLJ to you.
Her hair color.
What is red?
All over red, yeah.
$1 for you, George. You're paying attention. That's good. Select again, please.
All About Susan for $2.
Number of times Susan has previously been married.
What is once?
Once, yes. Right again.
$2. George, you are a good listener. I would like to compliment you and salute you. Select again, please.
Let me close that out. All About Susan for $3.
Number of children she has.
What is two?
Two? Oh, you've been listening.
$3 for George, and he deserves every penny of that. That is fantastic. I'm happy for you. Go again, George.
Let me have what is celebrity bra size for $1.
These are answers courtesy Fredericks of Hollywood.
Oh,
and there's some nice breasts on this list.
Oh, fantastic. I'd like to point out, I am wearing a lovely ensemble under this outfit. This golf shirt that I'm wearing and these tight jeans underneath are bra and panties. You didn't know that about me. That's another story, much like my constipation. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Let me have celebrity bra size for $1.
Jennifer Aniston.
Hello?
Perfect. She has PTs. Perfect tees.
Oh, I'll tell you right now.
What is 34 C's?
Yes. Hey, $1 for you. Way to go, George. You knew that the perfect breast was 34 C. I think that's admirable, too. I'll tell you, you must be a fine police officer because you've gotten all these correct. Go again, George.
There he has celebrity bra size for $2.
Okay.
That's right. They're breasts.
Julia Roberts.
Oh, yes, please.
Roberts. What is 32
Sorry, George, drop the ball. Drop the nightstick on that one. Phil, it's your chance to steal.
What is 34B?
34B is correct.
$2 for you, Phil. Congratulations. You're back in the running. You have a chance to finish strong. Do I understand you? Do I understand me? Go ahead, Phil.
Let's close out the celebrity bra size for three, please.
Although I've never seen her wear a bra. Toni Braxton.
What is 34B?
Correct. Hey, way to go, Phil. You know your bra sizes. That's great. Proud of you. All right, Phil.
Thank
select
you.
Again.
Let's sing some Led Zeppelin songs for one.
Here's my category.
Here you go.
Like this a lot. I love this category.
This would be the last category on the board now. Sing me a Led Zeppelin song for one. Stairway to Heaven.
And she's borrowing.
Oh, not in the form of
rules,
the
Phil. Rules, Phil. You got to pay attention to rules. That's why we're all here. We have rules. Come on, Phil. You dropped the ball. George, here's your chance to steal.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin for $1. What is, and she's borrowing.
No, I'm sorry. I can't accept that.
That sucks so bad. She's not borrowing a Stairway to Heaven.
Paying for the whole thing, George. She's buying.
She's buying a Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, you open the door for Phil again. Phil, it's your in control.
She's borrowing a Stairway to
Heaven. Come on now. She's buying the Stairway to Heaven. She's not going to a savings and loan there, George. Phil, you're in control. Phil,
yes,
you're asleep at the wheel. I said you're in control. That means select another category. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
He's got to finish out this category, TLJ.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. That was my error. I make a few, but I never admit to any. All right, go ahead, Phil.
Let's do Led Zeppelin songs for two, please.
Two.
Okay. Immigrant song.
I have no idea.
George, it's your chance to steal.
Nor I, Tommy.
All right, Mr. Jones.
What is what is Thank you very much.
They come from the land of the ice and snow and the midnight thunder and the hand wind blow.
I love that song. I love that Robert Plant. They're just terrific. Thank you. Phil, you're still in control.
Let's close out Led Zeppelin songs for three, please.
Dire Maker.
No idea.
George, it's your chance to steal.
Come on, Phil. I don't know either, Tommy.
Do you know this one, Mr. Jones?
I do not. You have found
this
found
is the one
box.
That goes, let me get a little drum thing.
Don Geronimo doing Led Zeppelin. Like, here we go.
Oh,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yes,
I don't
right.
have to go.
That's the one.
Oh,
I'd like you to take a look at my right earlobe. Do you see that? That is blood trailing off the end of it right now. That's it. Is that the end of the first round?
I think that blood is from one of your exploding pimples. But yes, that is it. That's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
We have reached the end of the first round, boys. Time to take a breath. Get yourself all ready for the second round. We're going to have a good time.
All right, now who's in the lead here, TLJ?
All right, George, the police officer from Leesburg. He is in control. That's Leesburg, Virginia. For those of you that are out of the Virginia area, I'll tell you that right now. $17 for George. Phil has $9. Do I have to repeat it?
No, you don't. We'll be right back. All right, Tommy Lee Jones here with us, TLJ. Big movie star with bad skin is playing a doll right now in his new movie.
Great to be here. Yes, Small Soldiers. Please go see that this weekend. I think you'll enjoy it. I think you get a kick out of it. I do. I really do.
Phil,
I think you should. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
George playing Low Budget Jeopardy. Who's in the lead here? Somebody put out a fire on your face with a track shoe or something.
That's
one
very
time.
Funny. I can take acne jokes. That's right. You know, somebody actually set your face on fire, tried to put it out with an ice pick. I know the joke. It's an old one, but that's okay. You can talk about my acne scars as much as you want. I am very successful and very secure. Would you like to know what the score is?
Yes, please.
All right, George, our police officer from Leesburg, Virginia, he has a total of $70. He's in the lead, followed by Phil, our returning champion, Phil Drew, in from Rockville, Maryland, the technical recruiter, who's got a total of $9. Huh?
All right, guys, it isn't going to happen. It's not a little bit of jeopardy where we physically force you both to bet at all. Good luck.
Good luck to you.
And here's your category. The often anticipated yet much dreaded states and capitals. It's the capital of the great state of New Mexico.
Oh, that's a toughie.
It's the capital of the state of New Mexico. Don't forget now, George and Phil answer in the form of a question and good luck.
All right, here we go. Got something for you, boys. Listen to this. All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive Tommy Lee Jones juice. Yes, TLJJ is pure natural, and it's made with my secret ingredients that only I know about. You will, too, if you drink it. You'll enjoy. Let's just say, when you pop open a bottle of Tommy Lee Jones juice, TLJJ,
TLJJ,
you get a little bit of me in every bottle. It tastes like turkey, but it looks like Yoo-Hoo. It's Tommy Lee Jones juice. Try it, won't you? Tell them TLJ sent you. Now, back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alistair Becher, Robin Moe.
Thank you.
You. Income now on JFK with cash for you.
you.
Low-budget Jeopardy.
All right, who is it first here, Tommy?
Phil, returning champion, low man on the totem pole.
Phil, it is the capital of the great state of New Mexico.
What is Santa Fe?
Santa Fe is...
Yeah.
Correct.
There you go, Phil. You scored $18. You better be happy about that one.
George, you can win if you have the correct answer.
What is Santa Fe?
Hey, he had it, too.
Way to go, George Harvey. Police officer, you are the low-budget Jeopardy LBJ champion. You must be thrilled, George.
Excited, Tommy. Excited.
Congratulations, George. Phil, of parting is such sweet sorrow. Adieu.
Adieu.
Don't go away mad. Just go away. Now, here is TLJ to tell you about your booty act.
All right, here we go. Here's a great prize for you, Phil. This will add to your bottom line. You have won a United States Road Atlas. Now, who is picking the prizes here? I know it's from ADC, the awfully darn careful map people, except no mapstitutes. Who is doing the copywriting? Don't just ask for directions. ADC, you've won a map, Phil.
Thank you.
Just a little map. That's all you've won. But wait, there's more.
There's more.
You have won a pair of tickets to see Iron Maiden.
Woo-hoo!
Iron Maiden at the Ballroom in Washington, D.C. Let me just say that I think a proper venue might be a cemetery. Are they still alive?
It is the last rung before you're officially out of show business.
I tell you. A ballroom, so how far they have fallen. And congratulations to you, Phil. Thanks for being a good champion.
Thanks, and a shout out to Buzz. Hope he gets well soon.
Get well soon, Buzz.
We sure do, too. Yeah, you know, a lot of the problems you were discussing there, Tommy Lee Jones,
are
problems that Buzz has also had recently.
Let's get a hard target search of his colon. Let's do it right now. We want Buzz to get well soon. We really do.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, George.
Thank you, LQ. Thanks,
guys.
Tommy Lee.
Guys, have a beautiful weekend, and thank you for listening. Well,
yes, it's time for me to go. I understand. The rules are made very clear to me by your producer.
Would you like some gauze or something?
I have a bleeder. I do. It was in my inner ear. The pimples have actually moved inside of my body, inside the ear, inside the nasal cavity, also inside the mouth.
You have pimples inside your mouth?
Big ones.
Let me see.
Here they are. Did you see Vesuvius?
Yeah.
It's almost eruption time.
Wasn't that a Phil Collins song?
Yeah.
Vesuvius?
Super Studio. Susu explosion inside of my mouth. But I do not eat hard candy, so I think it'll be all right.
All right, Tommy Lee Jones. Don't forget, don't you remember. Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Coron Incorporated and is distributed by King World. Look at the pimples on my bitch ass as I walk out of the room.
Goodbye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, bring a single malted Glengarry for me and one for my boy Mikey here. And if you tell the bartender to go easy on the water, then this 50-cent piece has your name written all over it. Okay? I want you to run along because I'll be timing you. I'm going to keep time. 1, 2, 3, 4. What a asshole. Baby, that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
That was so demeaning.
She smiled, baby.
I can't believe what an asshole you are.
No, baby, she smiled.
She was smiling what an asshole.
No. She was smiling at how money I was.
The Don and Mike Show. If you like, I will repeat it. Better yet, I'll let you eat it. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
My name's
Sandy.
Hello.
And I was wanted to ask you guys, I was raised Catholic, and I'm about your age.
Me too.
And, I'm sorry?
Me too, raised Catholic. Mike too.
I know. That's why I was calling.
Right.
Because although I'm not a goody-two-shoe, or I don't practice my religion probably to the best that I could, and I've been known to use foul language and not do the right thing, I have a very hard time saying TD.
Well, I can coach you through that.
That's a Catholic thing. That's
and I noticed thing. That you guys say it all the time, and it doesn't seem to bother you.
No,
let me
point out, one guy says it all the time.
Listen,
I still have that Catholic guilt. My father's looking down at me, and I feel like if I say it a couple of times in a row, that this big hand is going to come down and twist my head off and bring it up, and then look right in my father's face and go, what the hell are you doing?
First off, they're just words.
Personally, if I get hurt, like if I slam my hand in a door or something
right,
like that.
Right, it's a catch-all. It's a beautiful catch-all. Listen.
And then I'll jump up and down and I'll go, oh my gosh, I'm sorry,
listen,
I didn't mean it.
First off,
like immediately I'm apologizing.
They're just words, okay? They're just words.
But you're not supposed to take God's name in vain. Doesn't it make you feel really bad?
God damn it, no. Why is it okay if you go to a movie, and Bruce Willis says God damn it 100 times and you sit there and you're entertained, but if you're listening to a guy on the radio, articulate it, because many times it's the best way that I can describe something.
That's a good point.
Well, I wasn't trying. I'm not passing judgment.
Oh, I'm not... I
wasn't trying to give you a hard time. I was just wondering, you know, do you do that as part of your persona, or does is there any part of that Catholic boy that, that feels bad about it?
Like, no.
That it bothers.
Well, listen. First off, screw the Catholics. I'm an Episcopalian now.
Oh,
the Catholics are very uptight. I had the whole problem with them about divorce, and
well,
I'm not even going to get into the thing with rubbers and stuff like that.
Also.
What?
I've been excommunicated, too, because I'm divorced.
Right.
Both. Yeah, and that's I'm in that same boat.
You know, at the risk...
I still, it's like, I have a
problem. God damn it, you got a mouth on you.
Pardon me?
Okay, thank you. Now...
My best friend's Jewish, right? And she always tells me that I need, when we go out, she says that I have this little Catholic girl that sits on my shoulder and
right.
that I need to drink
right.
more and put her in a coma.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to coach, I could help you coach. I could coach you so you would be able to say that word.
Without feeling guilty?
Sure. Listen, see, if I really told you, really, it would get very boring because then you get into my whole belief system about God. I believe in God. The number one thing that God gave us was free will. If God really didn't want us to say, God damn it, he would have made us so we couldn't say, God damn it. Listen,
okay.
That really is my belief. And I think I'm as religious as I'll get out. I go to church all the time. I think about God all the time. I thank God for stuff all the time. But trust me, God has a sense of humor. God has a goddamned sense of humor.
Okay. So
that really is my take. So I don't feel bad. You want to say it? Let's say God.
I can say God.
All right, now say damn.
I can say damn.
Now
I just can't say them together.
Now say GD it.
I can say GD.
I'm going to work it. Now say gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it.
Now say gall dang it.
God dang it.
No, gall dang it.
Gall dang it.
Now god damn it.
Gosh darn it.
No, god damn it.
I can't say it.
And listen.
I'll get a confession if I do. I feel that bad.
The way that I want you to pronounce it is G-O-D-D-A-M-M-I-T.
G-A-M-I-I-T.
Right. Let's try it again.
I just can't
that's
say
the, that's the way he eases people in, because if you put the M-N on there, you know, it's that literal translation.
Damn.
That's right. We don't like that one.
I see it.
See, it's just a figure of speech. If what am I doing? Shut up, Michael.
They're worried.
I like listening to you, Mike. You don't give him, God doesn't give you enough time to talk once in a while.
Oh, no. He gives me
God
plenty of time.
Damn you. Shut up. That's it. Your time is over. You're not one of the beautiful people that can say that.
One of the beautiful people.
One of the right-thinking Americans that knows that God gave us free will. Listen, I don't think we're down here to try to prove anything. I don't think that this is any kind of a proving ground. I don't think that someone up there is keeping tabs on you, and when you die, they're going to go, well, golly, look, you were mean to this person, and you used the Lord's name. And listen, free will, baby. No, that means I won't go crazy and go kill somebody. I won't rob a bank. I won't pillage. I honor my wife. I love my family. But God damn it, I'll say whatever I want. And I haven't been hit by lightning. Okay? End of sermon. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to
roll,
my seat back a little bit there.
No problem.
Expecting lightning, I guess.
You'd be surprised to know in everyday life how often I really say, this is the truth. What would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
I say that to myself. Of course, I ignore the advice a lot of the time.
Yes.
But at least I think about it.
God is your co-pilot.
Yeah. Hello?
You got to get the bumper sticker for the car.
And the fish.
Hey.
Oh, come on. Move your chair closer.
Is this weirding you out with me over in the corner?
Yeah, move back to your regular spot.
I was doing it as a sight gag, for God's sake.
I like being able to see you.
I don't think that lightning's really going to come down and hit you or anything.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I need you guys to do me a favor.
Yeah, man.
If you can, okay? Look, I have this friend who opened up a deli, and this jerk sunk $1 million into a deli. Mm. Now, isn't that stupid?
Not if the deli's going to, like, make a lot of money?
No, you know how much it costs to open up a deli? We're talking
what, about $100?
$50,000.
All right, $200.
$200?
That's my top offer.
It depends on how much meat you use in the sandwiches.
Hey, listen, though. He put $1 million into this place, and it's been open for 2 weeks now, and I think he's had about 15 customers.
Why are you slamming this guy? Why are you so upset?
Well, I'm not slamming him. I just think it's pretty damn funny.
Yeah, but you're slamming him.
Well, come on. Listen, the guy's out there starting a business. At least he's doing something.
Yeah, well, okay, but you don't sink $1 million into something like that.
Well, why are you bitter? Why are you so concerned?
Because you don't have $1 million to sink into something.
I thought it was funny because you guys always talk about jelly, right? And he has jelly sandwiches on his menu.
Jelly sandwiches?
Yeah.
I think that's worth $1 million.
Look,
Marmalade, grape, strawberry, preserve.
What?
Meat,
I wanted to know if you guys could call him up right now.
Yeah, right.
No. No, come on. Maybe we'll buy a sandwich from him. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Jelly, of course.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice jelly sandwich on white bread.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this the new deli? I would like to order $1 million worth of jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, that'd be a good name.
The Jelly Deli.
No, New Deli.
Oh.
Like the country. Or the Jelly Deli. Yeah.
New Deli, Jelly Deli.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, you guys were talking, you were saying that if God really didn't want us to say God damn it, that he wouldn't make it so that we couldn't say it at all.
Right, that is my belief.
Right?
This is, I love it when we go into theology on this show. It's a very interesting
That's why I shouldn't say what I really think. I really shouldn't, because then everyone wants to discuss it.
But then you could also say if God didn't want us to be adulterous, then we wouldn't be able to be adulterous.
All right, and you want to know my thought about that? Really? It's up to you. But if you want to go out and screw someone that's not your husband or your wife, or kill somebody, I really think by the time you get to heaven, it ain't going to matter. I believe in an all-forgiving God. I don't buy into this crap that we're down here going through an exercise trying to prove ourselves.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Hey, want to play the name game?
After that?
The name game.
No, not up to the name game
right
now.
I'm
all flushed from speaking about religion.
So am I, and I wasn't speaking about it, so I don't want to play the name game either.
Let's start with Jesus.
No, I'm sorry, no.
Are you sure?
Listen, it's my free will right now. I'm hanging up on you.
You know, just a theory here. I think that guy had a collar on.
Hello, a dog collar?
No, I think he had one of those white collars.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, wearing his robes there. Just thought he'd call. You know, not admitting that he's a priest, but he's calling.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello, Radio Gods.
Hi.
How are you? This is a long, long time listener. Back when I was in my early teens and you guys were on AVA. You guys make my afternoon every day.
Thank you. Another young girl, Mike, who became a woman under our wing.
God,
isn't that wonderful?
You guys make my day.
Thank you.
See, I can say it. Also, a couple years ago, you guys were really nice to send me up to New York that one day to see the David Letterman show.
Oh.
Yes. And I was just thinking about that the other day and was listening to you all as you were talking about the possibility of getting a tattoo and everything. And you guys convinced me that it was a good thing to do, and now I have one on my ankle.
Oh, well, I decided not to.
It's not that bad.
Don actually had second thoughts about the tattoo.
It doesn't hurt. It tickles more than anything else.
Well, you know, my family wasn't for it, and I spent the weekend up on the boardwalk in Ocean City where I saw all kinds of people. And then The Undertaker was in here yesterday, and
he was covered with tattoos.
He's another advertisement. Well, A, not to, you know, set your parents on fire. I guess that would be the first advertisement. But number two,
right?
Don't tattoo your body. I mean, at least not to the extent that he has.
No.
What is your tattoo? What do you have?
I have all the characters from Winnie the Pooh except Owl and Gopher.
What, in a circle around your ankle?
My ankle.
Wow.
Okay.
That's cute.
You know, listen. All right, I wanted Batman, but at least I didn't go through and do it.
Oh, listen to you. And she was listening to you and decided she'd dive in. Was listening to Don talk about the tattoo, the final catalyst for you to go and get a tattoo?
It was one of the deciding factors.
Yeah, sure, made you hot for it.
If he was going to be brave enough to do it, I guess I could.
Well, good. I'm glad there was one of us that was brave. All right, thank you for calling.
You have a good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, want to tell you, before we have to do a break here.
Okay.
And I want to talk about Regis and Kathy Lee a little bit.
God, you're cute.
Oh, and she was today.
Mm-hmm.
Any of you guys see Kathy Lee today?
I didn't see her.
No.
The show starts.
Except in my dreams, of course.
Well, I'll tell you about it in a second. I'll tell you in just a second. But she was incredible today.
Really?
She had on an I Dream of Genie outfit.
Wow.
And
she's still looking strong.
She might as well have been topless.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Cleavage?
Yeah. So we'll call the Regis and Kathy Lee comment line and tell them how offended we were by that.
Oh,
okay? Because they really pay attention to people that call up and say they don't like something on that show.
God, it was awful. What's she trying to do? Are they doing a talk show or are they simply trying to show skin?
There you go. Is today Take Your Daughter to Work Day?
No, that was... last week or like the week before I heard.
When are you going to start doing that?
I forgot. I would have brought Catherine in, but I didn't know. And Laura said to me 2 days later, I think it was on the weekend, said, you know, Wednesday was Take Your Daughter to Work Day. How come you didn't take your daughter to work? Next year, I promise I will. Next year, I'll bring both of them in.
Oh, and your wife wasn't at that little thing last night. Rob, did you get lots of money from the other people who work on the show, though? And your wife, rather? Where was your wife, Mike?
basement with duct tape tied to a pole.
Good move,
man.
Frida, biggest spender last night, I hear tell.
Surprise.
Wow. Yeah, shocker.
She's still not speaking to me. She really wanted to go, and I had her, like, wrapped around there.
Until she's that not went speaking to you. It was a gag.
Yeah, absolutely. I had her just tied up, and it was just like,
let me do it. Let me do it, you bastard.
See, Rob's wife had her Amway party last night.
Amber Chef.
Right, and got everybody over there to I don't know what kind of ritual they go through, right. But they go through some kind of female ritual, and then they all get in a real buying frenzy, and they they buy all this stuff that I know will just be shoved under our cabinet and generally not used.
I did bring a catalog for Mrs. O'Mara.
Thank you. You could have about 10 of those parties in a row, and it still wouldn't make up for what my wife bought at the first one.
You're right. You're right. Well, with my apologies, I give you that catalog.
Look at this. Look at this wonderful stuff. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
Good turnout.
Oh, great.
Good turnout.
Fantastic.
Hey, Frida tells me that your wife took him on a tour of your whole place. Mm-hmm. Nice.
They nice.
Ooh. They go in the bedroom, Rob?
Sure.
Oh, they did? Really?
Yeah.
You have a waterbed?
A round one.
A round waterbed.
Wow.
You want to hear the funniest thing that I heard?
What?
That Rob Spiewak goes out and, like, does farm chores.
Yes. Does he really?
Sure. That he actually...
Farmer Rob?
No, listen to what he does. Now, do you go out there on a tractor, Rob?
I have done stuff on the tractor before, yeah.
Is that the funniest thing ever, Rob? Be whack on a tractor?
How pictured you with a little piece of wheat in your mouth, you know, going out on the tractor.
I wear a coat and tie when I do it.
So you look Amish, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't I always?
Now, what do you do? What do you farm?
Did you shave today? Did you also shave
I trimmed
today?
My beard too short. I really did.
Okay.
And, you know, I got one strip too short, and then trying to even it out, I just look like I've gone 2 days without doing anything.
That piece of your face that hasn't seen the sun in a while.
Yeah,
always
well,
like that
I'll
look.
I'll sun myself tonight. My grandfather was raised on a farm, and he's, you know, sold a lot of his land off, but he still grows stuff, and he sells it at the farmer's market, and I help him out.
So you farm?
Yeah. We do corn and tomatoes and stuff like that.
How funny is that?
I just don't picture you
me
farming.
Either.
I really
well,
don't.
Well, I'm not very good, and I get out of it whenever I can, but sometimes there's no escape.
So
that's what you do.
Farmer Rob.
Yeah,
do you ever wear overalls?
I haven't in probably 20 years.
Oh, okay.
That was the first,
you like.
First bulletin I got last night when my wife got home. Do you know that Rob farms? Well, you know, I think you said something about that to me, but I've always gotten the impression they're just out in the backyard, like, planting tomato seeds or something.
Tomatoes.
Well, it's probably, like, all told, my grandfather probably does, like, 2 or 3 acres.
What is your favorite farming chore? We all have, those of us that do chores have
a favorite. I like selling the stuff.
You like selling it?
Yeah, that was my first job growing up, is at the vegetable stand. I could figure sales tax, like, at a real young age.
Wow.
I bet you could.
But I hated getting up early, and I don't like pulling corn. So.
Take a picture of yourself on the tractor.
I sure will.
I think we'd like to see that.
I will.
Farmer Rob.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Farm All 140.
Very good.
Well, my wife said she had a great time last night. Yeah. And she didn't yell at me, so I guess they didn't talk about naked girls or anything.
Excellent.
Good. So things are good. A quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the what?
Whatever you want to call it. Organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that?
Dad, I've lived in the house all my life. I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusimano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusimano kids ever find $50,000 in Krugerrands and a .45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
I'm in a waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up. It's a stereotype, and it's offensive. And you're the last person I would want to perpetuate it.
Fine.
There's no mafia.
The Don and Mike Show. The Cox of the Walk. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Absolutely. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, let me talk to Mama, please.
Okay.
All right. Just got to give my wife a pat on the back.
Hey,
yeah.
Hello.
Hey, honey.
Yes, Daddy-o.
Hey, those couches and those lamps.
Yeah, the lamps look great, Frida.
Oh, thanks.
You know,
my first little decorating job.
The lamps. We, for the first time in our office now, instead of having the ugly, I'm sure it kills everything inside, fluorescent lights.
Right.
My wife went out and got some lamps for our office. And the thing that I noticed most is that the couches don't look so bad.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And with the right glass coffee table that I'm going to get over the weekend.
Eggs Daddy Thomas style.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah. No, and I think you need some pillows on your couch and a little bit of window treatment. It could be lovely in there.
But we're not getting rid of that big Mr. Clean stand-up.
No, even with your 13-year-old boy stuff, you could still have a nice-looking room. I felt like I was working on my son's college room, his college dorm. dorm room.
Well, that's a nice compliment. Thank you. Hey, look, honey, thanks for the lamps.
You're welcome, sweet pea.
All right, I love you.
Okay,
it does look good. It really, we looked at it, and it makes a difference. You turn off those fluorescents.
Makes the whole room look nice.
You know, and it's going to be, it's the office everybody sees, too, when they come up there. So we're going to have a nice looking office.
Oh, good.
And what a weekend they got. You know, we have the basketball playoffs tomorrow.
Yes, second round of the playoffs.
Barty's team going for a big win. And then I'm going to be moving some furniture this weekend.
Are you really?
And I don't mean picking my nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, moving the furniture. I mean
rearranging the furniture.
Right. You know, renting a truck and driving some couches somewhere.
You going to drive a big truck? Is it a big truck that you have?
Big rig, Mike. 18-wheeler.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm not sure. All I know is that I'm really looking forward to it.
If anybody was waiting. If anybody was waiting for a reason to tune in on Monday, I think you just got it.
That's a warning if you're thinking about driving either on Route 95 or Route 50 this weekend. Watch it, because I'm going to be behind the wheel of one of those big-ass trucks trying to move some furniture.
Yeah, you'll feel powerful.
And don't tailgate in one of those. They take longer to stop.
All right. I love you, honey.
Okay, love you.
Thanks for the lamps.
Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye. Oh, you know what? We're running out of time here. I want to play you this tape of the disc jockey, Buddy Scott.
Buddy Scott.
But I don't think we have time on today's show. Let me tease you with it.
Okay.
And we'll listen to this in its entirety on Monday's show, okay? This is let me stop it. This is a guy that was my program director in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Guy knows nothing about radio, man. Guy single-handedly tried to sabotage my career. And as it turns out, now he's working at a competing station for our show down in the Carolinas.
Okay.
Okay, so here he is.
It's 11 o'clock. This is Buddy Scott with Chicago's Hot Music on B96.
Lame.
Chicago.
He liked the music, didn't he?
Hell yeah.
You're listening to nothing but the hits on B96.
He's real good at doing that and making all those breaks where the disc jockeys couldn't talk. Listen to the way he pants. He sounds like a 400-pound man trying to do a radio show. Listen to this. Oh, here's a jingle.
This is Buddy Scott for Dave Robbins. Chicago weather is going to be sunny and warm. High today, 85. Fair and mild, the low tonight at 62, and O'Hare at 74. Downtown, 68. With Huey Lewis in the news in the heart of rock and roll on B96.
I'm about to have a heart attack. I'm Buddy Scott. On B96.
He doesn't say a damn thing.
Yeah, you can't make fun of it because he's not saying anything.
This is Buddy Scott for Dave Robbins, reminding you that you can win $96 cash. Just for listening to the noon countdown today, write down songs number 5, number 3, and number 1.
5.
The noon countdown. Then when we ask you to
answer, that's
591-7296.
Sucks.
Hey, don't forget, you can call in and vote for your favorite song right now. 591-7296. That is my telephone number to get something on the radio. All you got to do is speed up, give me a call right now. Bruce Springsteen. On B96.
Is there a more vanilla, got nothing to say, loser disc jockey than little bitty Buddy Scott?
Man, and you know, it's so processed, so overproduced, it's very difficult to even hear him.
And that's the kind of radio that Buddy liked. When you would come on after a jingle, and all you would do is read what's on the card.
Right.
Hey, Chicago's hot music. B96, I'm Buddy Scott. And you can picture, I was on this station.
Yeah.
I went crazy on the station. I talked before the jingle. I talked after the jingle. I talked all over the record. I talked during the weather jingle. And he used to be on my ass, man. Buddy Scott.
96, Bruce Springsteen. Dancing in the dark. This is Buddy Scott. It's 11:21. Every time
I have... You suck,
Diggs. Boy, we got another good-looking day out there. Sunny and warm today with a high of 85. Fair and mild tonight, low 62. And O'Hare, 74. Downtown, 68.
Hold on. This is what he hated most when I worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the weather jingle, it says, B96, music.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would hit a record.
Right.
He forbid me to talk.
After the jingle.
Because they said, music.
Right.
What a stupid rule that is.
Yeah.
So here's this. B96, music.
B96, music.
So you weren't allowed to talk there.
B96. Don't forget, you can win cash.
Oh,
just
right
for
there.
Listening to the noon countdown today. Write down songs number 5, number 3, and number 1. This. We'll get it right in a minute. After you write down songs number 5, 3, and 1 of the noon countdown, you'll be listening. We ask you to call. You'll be the ninth caller. 591-7296. Repeat them back to us, and you're going to win $96 from B96.
Well, we don't have time for that today. Maybe on Monday. All I know is that all the people that work for him now at the station,
right,
that he works at in South Carolina, they all hate him.
Really?
The general manager from our station, from WPEK, called
right
to say, please wait until we're done with ACC basketball to start playing the tapes of Buddy Scott, because so many people from his radio station called to find out if we were going to be busting his balls today.
We're pleasing a lot of people right now.
Yeah, we're making memories with Buddy Scott. Imagine that. Imagine me work. Do you remember the other Buddy Scott rule? The 10-second rule.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime that you talked going into a commercial set,
right,
you were not allowed to talk for more than 10 seconds.
Great radio rule. Yeah, one of those great, brilliant radio rules.
He would call me into his office and he would say, you violated the 10-second rule by 9 times today. Meaning that on one break, I talked for 90 seconds. Going into, he sat there with a goddamn stopwatch.
Oh, God.
You know, and if you talk more than 10 seconds, he got all mad at you. I take caller number 5. Hey, this is Buddy Scott on B96. I'm gasping for air right now. Where's my dad? Buddy Scott on B96. I can't wait for Don to get here so I can bust his balls. I know he does a great show, but I don't want to do a bad show because I'm Buddy Scott on B96.
Buddy Scott.
Oh, man, this is nice. I think it's a lovely tribute.
You're listening to nothing but the hits on B96.
He was good at setting up those no-talk breaks.
Sister Christian, that's Night Ranger. This is Buddy Scott for Dave Robbins. It's 11:37 on B96.
Here, I'm screwing up the weather jingle again.
Well, it is definitely going to be a very nice day today. Sunny and warm with a high today of 85. Fair and mild tonight. Low tonight, 62. At O'Hare, it's 74.
62.
Down, it's 68.
Sing?
Real tight, too. Really got up to that vocal.
That's why it was disheartening. That's why many times program directors should not go on the air.
Absolutely.
Because you really, first off, you don't have much respect for these guys to begin with. But then when you would hear a guy like Buddy get on the air and try to do an air shift,
mm-hmm.
And of course all the disc jockeys were listening when Buddy right. was on the air.
Of course.
And then you have to sit in a critique with this guy and he's busting your balls. And meanwhile, here's the type of radio he's capable of.
This is Buddy Scott and Dave Robbins. Don't forget, call info for your favorite song right now, 591-7296. And then be listening to the noon countdown. Matter of fact, we're going to get somebody 96.
Yeah, baby.
We're listening to the noon countdown.
That's right. Right.
Songs number 5, number 3, and number 1. Then when we ask, be the next caller.
Other guys that we've worked for that have done that, it's that same rap. It's that same exact, that high energy the whole time because they just want to get it in there like that. They don't want to talk anything, and it's the same thing.
Guy doesn't understand, you have a record intro that has like a 20-second intro.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't try to cram all the junk into 5 seconds. Right. You know, with Buddy Scott, this is really a perfect break right here. This is what Buddy Scott would really like.
Hey, B96, Matchbox 20. B96.
See, and the song keeps going.
Right.
The disc jockey could be saying something here, but, you know, in Buddy Scott's world, hey, man, 10-second rule. I hope he doesn't have a heart attack this weekend. I hope he manages to keep his failing heart alive this weekend. So we can continue our tribute to him on Monday.
Absolutely. And you know, I don't even know the guy, and I'm loving every minute of this.
All right, listen, hold on. One more thing. Oh, we're running out of time. Let's welcome Betty and John.
Oh, right.
Hi, guys.
Newlyweds from Reno.
Way to go, Betty and John.
Hi, guys.
Betty and John, as you know, met on our show.
Right.
Betty sent us a letter. How many years ago was that, Betty?
It was in September of 94.
So, yeah, look at that. 4 years ago almost, she sent us a letter that she was lonely, living in Burlington, Iowa, where our show was heard on KCPS. Said she couldn't meet any nice men, sent us a letter and a picture.
That's right.
And we started a Win a Dream Day with Betty contest, and she ended up meeting this guy, John.
And later on, we got John to actually do a little proposal on our air and at our show in Reno.
And you got married. You crazy kids went and got married.
We eloped.
You finally did it. You eloped. Where'd you elope to?
Bandera, Texas.
Bandera.
What made you kids finally decide to get married?
Well,
Actually, I think it was the fact that as we were driving through Bandera, we saw this bar with the horses tied up in front of it and thought, what better place would there be to get married? The setting is perfect, you know?
Oh, yes, romantic.
Absolutely.
And we
agree.
Hey, how old are you kids?
We're both 61.
Oh, 61. God bless you guys. We're so happy for you.
I only wish it could have happened on our show, Betty, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I guess it's your life after all.
Well, she saw the horses.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, the people in Bandera, Texas are the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Well, listen, Betty, you and John, you know, call us again. We'd like to know what happened like on your wedding night and stuff.
Oh, well, use your imagination. It was the perfect wedding night.
Oh yes,
golly.
That's terrific.
All right. Hey, best of luck, Betty.
Yeah.
What's Johnny saying there?
Quite sure I had to consummate the marriage on the, you know, immediately.
Oh, that's terrific.
She's going to talk about sex now.
No, we won't talk about it. We'll just let you imagine it.
All right.
We wanted to say thank you, and we've gotten some calls from people. I'm sorry we were gone earlier today, but we had an eye appointment. But anyhow, we've gotten some calls from some people here in Reno congratulating us, and we want to thank all of them. We're really very, very happy.
Well, best of luck, and God bless you both.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Betty.
Bye-bye.
That's a happy ending, courtesy of our show right there.
Yep. Yeah, 61 years young. Betty and John, they saw the horses. They had to get married.
Yeah. B96's Buddy Scott, I want to say happy wedding to Betty and John. B96. Hey, this is Buddy Scott. My hands have gone numb. B96. Hey, this is Buddy Scott, one step away from the coronary. I'm B96.
Oh, God. How are you liking that, buddy?
Donna Mike, the New York Post says Lenny DiCaprio has his own posse, much like Frank Sinatra had the Rat Pack.
Oh, I want to be in that posse.
And
it's the Pussy Pack.
These guys, how did you guess the name?
Are you kidding
me? That's not exactly. They call it the Posse.
You,
the Pussy Posse?
Yeah.
Meant it when you said it to me. You meant it in a different way, didn't you?
Pussy man.
You thought, I'm not running with anybody because I'd be scared.
You want to take some Viagra, Pussy man?
No, if I took Viagra, my heart might explode and then I'd get in trouble.
Leonard DiCaprio has his own posse and they spend nights prowling for women, according to the New York Post.
I called it that because they're all pussies, not because they like it.
Who's in the posse? Who's in the Pussy Posse, Buzz?
You know, I didn't recognize most of the names other than Leonardo DiCaprio. And like Frank Sinatra's Rat Pack, there is an honorary female member, and she is Melissa Gilbert, who played Darlene on the Roseanne show.
She's there.
Shirley MacLaine.
She's not fit.
That should be the Poon Pack.
in a book,
the Poon Posse.
In a book about DiCaprio, he's quoted as saying, when you're my age, your hormones are just kicking in and there's not much besides sex on your mind. The Post says that he and the rest of his posse spend the night prowling in New York.
Did you say Melissa Gilbert? It's Sarah Gilbert.
I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
Sarah Gilbert.
Melissa Gilbert is Little House on the Prairie.
Right.
Forgive me.
And Sarah Gilbert was Darlene on Roseanne, right?
That's right. Sarah Gilbert. Yes.
But I stand by my original statement.
Yeah.
Poon.
Poon.
You know, some girls you describe different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it for her.
That's how I would describe her.
There is so much violence in...
I'm hesitating right now to get into discussion on that particular word. But isn't that... I've always considered that to be a good word.
Oh, no.
Really?
Poontang?
You don't consider that to be a good word.
I consider it to be a slang...
I've always considered that to be just another word...
Put down.
...to describe something...
Mm-mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And as a matter of fact, I'm positive I've used the word in that regard around you.
I have always thought that you have used the word, as I have, to, although rarely, as
yeah, right.
as something to say, you know, good. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I know that I've described women, I've pointed women out on the street to you.
And have said, look. See, we thought that meant you liked them.
Oh, no.
Has that always been a derogatory term?
Yes. If I see a woman, I go, oh,
Poontang. That means bad.
Okay. All right. Now I know. Now I know. I've never known that before.
Okay.
There is so much violence in Steven Spielberg's new movie.
Poon. I guess for you it means good.
I think that's always been my impression of the word, that it is a good thing. You know, hypothetically, you know, so I don't get in trouble here. You're traveling out there, you know, and you're a bunch of guys, and you want to go to a place where there might be women. Mm-hmm. And the guy, how did I get myself into this?
You say, is there going to be any poon there?
Is there some? I've always heard there's some nice poon. There.
Okay,
yeah,
nice poon.
Yeah,
good poon.
And I believe poon has always been simply the shortened version of poontang.
Yeah.
See, to me, poontang is a put down, and if a guy says good poon or nice poon, what he's saying is, she's kind of scuzzy, but she's okay.
See, I've always known poon to be the short version of poontang.
Right, yeah. Me too.
Not poontang as much as poontang, which is good.
No, well, two separate words. Poontang, like what our astronauts drank.
Uh-huh.
Poontang, poontang. It's a put down, at least with me and my circle of friends. And I thought you were in that circle of friends, because I know I've used that before with you. When we've seen woman. Seen women. We've seen women.
I'd love to know, like, there can't be a dictionary with a definition of that word.
Look it up, Buzz.
Not that I know of.
P-O-O-N.
It's not good.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if we really have, like, we don't have...
A derogatory term.
Yes, and then I go, my God, I've been misusing it for years. And I would love to know the real definition of it.
I don't doubt that it's what you say, because all the guys that I ever used that word with,
right?
I'm pretty sure they've all meant it the way you use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another word for the same thing.
Doggone it, it's not in Webster's.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
You really should call Ted Nugent. He's got a radio program in, I believe, Detroit.
Yeah, so when I want to find out about anything, you call the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I wanted to get in on the poontang conversation.
Sure, yes, my friend.
Yeah, my buddies and I, we've always called it the old pooner. The ER on the end.
It's
regional colloquialism abound.
It's complimentary when you use it, right?
Oh, it's complimentary. It's fantasy. We are saying it with much anticipation.
All right.
Great anticipation, grasshopper.
I've always used it as kind of a put down. Hello, kind of a white trash thing.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, I was wondering if you played the "fut you" thing from Jackie Chan.
No, we're in the middle of a discussion about poon right now.
It's a very, very important subject that we're on right now, sir.
Please, no time for the butt you tape. We are talking about poon right now.
Yes, I know you are.
Hey, Don and Mike.
I wanted to give a female perspective.
Yeah.
Poon tang is a good term, except a funny thing that I saw recently on a car, a guy had poo tang across his windshield.
All right, thank
you. Okay, thank you very much.
I don't know what she was talking about.
I don't either.
Hello.
I smell vermin poontang, and the only good poontang is dead poontang.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm on.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Tracy from Reno.
Yes, hi, Tracy.
How you doing?
Great.
I'm mailing you my pictures. I'm the swinger that you guys think, you don't believe I'm good looking. Me and my old...
Right, all swingers are pigs.
Exactly. So anyway, my picture's in the mail because the fax didn't take.
Can you enlighten us on our current discussion at all?
What I want to do is, my boyfriend's 20 miles behind me on the road, and I'm home now, and I just want to let him know that I want to give him a nice, wet, sloppy Monica when he gets home.
Mm. All right. Okay. Poontang.
Poontang.
Now, if we saw this woman somewhere, I would say to Mike, ugh. Poontang.
I never do this.
Right?
No. I've heard you. I have never, ever taken it that way when you've said it.
Even when I say it like that, oh, poontang.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe I'm going to have to change the way I use it. But that's how I've always meant it. No offense to you, ma'am.
Oh, I don't take offense.
Okay, poontang.
When you see my picture, you'll change your mind.
Right. I'm sure I will.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're on the air. Hi.
Okay. I've got the American Dictionary of Slang here with an exact definition for poontang.
All right, sure.
And it's two words, and the actual definition is the vagina of a negress or mulatto, a negro or mulatto woman considered sexually. That's right out of the dictionary.
Well, that's not at all what we were thinking.
Well, I know. I just wanted to let you know that I've got an actual definition of it. No problem.
That may surprise a lot of people.
That's amazing.
Oh. And what is mulatto? What is that, like half black and half white?
I think it's a mixing of the races. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, it's an old term, right?
Mulatto.
Antiquated term.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, it's a black slang term. That's where it came from.
Well, yeah, but I'm not a black guy. Mike's not a black guy. It might have come from black guys.
Us whiteys have adopted it just like we have other black slang terms.
Yeah, okay. That sounds valid. Yeah, that sounds valid.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, do you think poontang is in relation to fuck you?
How about harpoon? Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was listening.
Lampoon. Playing the poon game with you.
Tampoon.
How does our British guys say tampon?
Tampoon.
Do you have any tampoons?
Dude, man, listen. I saw.
What?
Okay, speaking of poontang.
What?
I saw the Anne Heche movie, 6 Days, 7 Nights.
Yes.
My Fiance.
Yeah.
Nasty poon. And you know something? And I tried to watch.
Yeah, see, if you're going to say that's a good use of the word negatively, is if you're going to use it in a derogatory fashion,
yeah.
you pepper it with a derogatory adjective immediately prior to saying poon.
All right, you say tomato.
Yeah.
And I say tomato.
Well, next time if you're around me and you're going to use the, you know, just pop in an extra adjective just so I'll know that you're saying ugly.
Let's go back to the sales office right now.
Okay.
And we'll look at some girls.
Yeah, and then you can, like, throw it out there.
Yeah, I will do some announcing with you there.
And
you know,
then
I'll describe the girls as they walk by. I'll say, you know.
And then everybody that works here will be saying, what are they doing in the corner again?
Just standing in the corner looking at us.
Laughing hysterically.
Buzz, look what's happened to your news and comments.
It's amazing.
Look at that. We have to do a quick break.
Well, let's do that then. Sorry,
we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.